You know, Joe, I don't know what the matter is with Bill. I mean, he's wacko. He's crazy. I mean, you ought to keep a leash on him.
Not my problem. He's yours.
It's where you find it.
A big donut and this snake wearing a vest.
No, not that kind of dream. I mean a dream you dream about all the time. It keeps you going, dreaming about it, hoping it'll come true.
Did you ever have a dream like that?
To find my bike.
My dream is to live in the city of eternal love. Paris, France.
You'll get there, Simone.
Oh, I don't know. My boyfriend, he's real jealous. He flunked French in high school and thinks that everything over there is set up to make guys like him look dumb.
Well, I bet if he knew how important it is to you, he'd change his mind.
No, he won't.
Simone, this is your dream. You have to follow it.
I know you're right, but...
But what? Everyone I know has a big butt. Come on, Simone, let's talk about your big butt.
Pee-wee. I've been waiting for somebody to put it to me like that for so long.
Come on,
take
come
it easy,
on.
Pal. You know, not all of us got enough money for a Mazda. Some of us have to work for a living, you know what I mean?
Suitor number three. Is your kiss like a soft breeze, a firm handshake, or a jackhammer?
Definitely a jackhammer. I'm in there with some pressure, and when I'm done, you're not the same as before. You're changed.
Where do you come up with this shit? That is the cheesiest response to an honest question I've ever heard. I saw you kiss, and it wasn't anything like that.
Suitor number two, you have to wait until you're addressed before you respond.
Richard Dawson, just go back to your podium until it's time to play the feud, all right?
Who the hell did you see me kiss?
Some dude backstage. I don't know who he was, but he seemed unimpressed.
I didn't kiss any guy backstage, I swear. I'm not gay.
Hey, Suterette, this guy's a homophobe. You heard how repulsed he sounded. Is this the kind of guy you want to spend a vacation with, this hate monger?
I don't hate gay people.
So you love them?
Yes! I mean, no.
Textbook closet case, self-loather. Can't be comfortable with his own sexuality.
Are you watching this shit, man? It's fucked up.
Yeah. space station!
Yeah! Woo! Hey, everybody! Woo! We're back! Oh! Fugles of Dynamite! Hey! Who the hell are these guys, huh? Is this some kind of live show or something? Ah, surprise party! Hey!
I'll kill you.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show. It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. That's where we're at, huh? That's what we talk about every week. Well, every other week. That's kind of erratic during the summer, you know, got things to do, going to water parks and such. But, hey, we're here. And welcome to the show. To my left is PCZ Steven. Hey! Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. I had to think about who.
Time for a second.
Who do I do this show with? Wait, it's been a while. How many weeks has it been, Steven?
I don't know.
It's been a while.
It's been 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, so we're back. And unfortunately, Mulberry Bill, he isn't with us. Oh, bummer.
He's on vacation.
Yeah, he's on vacation. So I decided, you know, at first I was like, well, you know, we'll take another week. Wait, we can't. We're missing all these shows. You know, we got Hell's Kitchen going on. We got True Blood. We've got the incredible storylines going on. Entourage that we're falling behind on, Steven.
We got the new
MasterChef.
MasterChef thing yeah. going on.
We got MasterChef and all that. So I was like, we got to do a show. But who are we going to have fill in? You know, there's not one person who can do it. But maybe two people, huh? The first one, I should say, is my sister, Laura.
Hey.
Hey, Laura. Not Vanessa. My other sister. That's right. I have lots of sisters.
Lots?
We're from, you know, Utah originally, Stephen. May not all have the same mother, but we've got lots of siblings.
At least this one you share the mother with, yes.
But welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of Nowhere in Mulberry before?
I have. I listened to it.
Awesome. Do you listen for Steven or...
Definitely.
Yeah. That's right. If you want to hear some great Steven action, you listen to... You listen to Nowhere in Mulberry. But Laura, thank you so much at the last minute for tuning into the show. And sitting in on the show and, trying to take Bill's place.
No problem.
Hopefully, I want you to be very comfortable as possible. Right, Steven?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we also have another guest on the show, and that would be Adam. Adam from the Bay Area. Hey, Adam, you there?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Adam.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Adam? Yo.
I'm just eating some chips.
Oh, yeah. Like your dog.
Is that bad radio etiquette? Or,
yeah, that usually, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, don't talk with your mouth full.
I'm so hammered.
I guess I better stop. Sorry about that.
You know what's great is we have some Adam drops, so we can just pull them on them at any time.
Guys, don't play this on the air.
Exactly. Now, Adam, thank you so much for sitting in on the show also.
No problem, man. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Well, thanks. And now, do you think you could, you're going to try to do the news and the DVDs?
I'm all ready to go. Yes, sir.
All right. That's going to be some huge shoes to fill.
Oh, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is going to be huge shoes to fill. What's up, Steven? How's it going, man? It's good to hear your voice.
I'm good. Back in town again. Woo. Tired of traveling.
Awesome.
I feel very comforted at the sound of the Predator.
Yes. Very
you might
good.
Get a few of those. I'm kind of tired. I woke up at like 2 this morning to
catch
my flies.
Yeah, you look kind of tired.
What's the matter, Steven? You okay?
I slept about an hour, and then I had to get up at like 2:30, pack, drive 2 hours into Minneapolis to catch my flight at 7 this morning.
Well, usually we have only 3 people on the show. We got Laura and Adam here. You want to take off?
No, I'm good.
Well, I'm in charge of kicking you if you're not off.
I took a little nap before the show.
Yeah, Laura, you're in sitting distance. Just smack Steven.
I can smack him.
Nice. You know what? I wanted to make an announcement real quick before we start things that if you go to nowheremulberry.com and you click on our forum, we're now in a different forum. We've got our own forum. I want to thank Andy of the Hollywood Saloon for letting us stay there for as long as he did. It was time for us to move on. And we've got a new forum that Bill's put together. It's actually an old forum that we put together, and I was actually signed up to it like 4 years ago. I don't know, 3 years ago. I don't know. It was a long time ago. And so I was like, oh, I'm already registered here. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you know, like denied, password, denied. I'm like, what was my password? So I guessed, and finally it locked me out because I guessed so many times. I'm like, Bill, I can't get into the forum. And then I see Steven's joined it. I'm like, Steven beat me to the he posted him for me. Come on. So I was like, Bill, you're going to have to delete my account and let me start all over. And I hope he did before he went on vacation because I don't know what I'm going to do, man. I can't join the forum. But
it's like everybody was posting on who they were. So,
So did you rejoin?
Not yet.
Oh, okay, because I saw the J-Strom on there, so I guess that's your old account.
Yes, and if I knew the password, I would I would sign on to it. You know what I'm saying? So, Adam, I know you haven't joined yet, right? Have you?
No, I haven't. I'm just, I don't know what it is. I'm just not big on the forums. I guess I'm not used to them. At the risk of sounding like an idiot, I just find them a little confusing.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
Is it almost like this? I've been on forums like of things I like, and I'm like, I got nothing to post. What if they make fun of me or something? Like I was listening to a live podcast just yesterday, and they had a chat room, and I was like, no, I won't type anything. You know, it's just like self-conscious all of a sudden. Like, I got nothing to type. I got nothing to say, you know? And I just want to thank all the brave people in NimChat right now. So thank you for what you're doing for us. Yeah. Now, Adam, you don't actually have the job yet of tonight's show. I want you to pass a test first to see if you actually listen to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Okey-dokey.
Now, you have to identify some sounds, okay?
Okay.
Wow.
What is
good
this?
Luck.
What do we call this on Nowhere in Mulberry?
Cicadas.
Yes, cicadas. Very good. Okay. That's not it. That's not,
that's not
the only... Yeah,
oh,
that's
okay.
Not all.
That's the only
okay.
Pet.
All right. Let's see. What do we got? This one?
that sounds like a rather aggressive predator.
Identify this.
That is definitely some sort of predator steeped very deep in some sort of jungle.
Yes. Wow, that is detailed.
But what is the predator's name is what I'm looking for.
Steven, PCZ Steven.
Yeah, very good. Okay. That's the second one. Let's see. Do I have a third?
Yeah, how many are there?
Really winging it here. what movie is this from? Okay.
Big. By the Big Boom.
That is from The Fifth Element.
Yeah. All right. You got the job, buddy.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
I have a quick question real fast.
Sure.
What is, like, I'm listening to Old School, like, over again with my friend Eric, and there's this drop you keep playing, and it's this guy that goes, it is tight like a man's anus, or something like that. What is that from?
That's Ollie G.
Ollie G, okay.
The cool. Ollie G show.
I thought it was from Bruno, because I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's the same guy, so.
Right, okay, cool. Sweet.
Now, Adam and Laura, we have some voicemail. Hey, voicemail.
Hi.
And the first one is this one guy who won't stop leaving us voicemail.
What a joke.
Do you have any idea who this is, Adam?
I may have some sort of clue.
It's Adam. Hey. Let's check it out. So, Adam, this is going to be surreal, a voicemail to yourself.
Oh, man, talk about feeling self-conscious. You type now. It's like everybody. I'm here now. I have to comment on my own stuff.
All right, let's check this out and see what you had to say. And this was like a couple of weeks ago, I think. That's what's funny is we won't do a show, but what's great, Adam, is I love that you leave feedback every week, even if we don't do a show. So then, like, 3 weeks later, we've got, like, 3 voicemails.
5 minutes of voicemail.
So let's check this out.
Hey, Noah and Mulberry. It's Adam from the Bay Area. Tried calling in on Friday. No one would answer my call, so apparently I've done something wrong. It's probably this whole feud that's happening between me and Mulberry Satan. I mean, Mulberry Bill. Sorry to take words right out of Eugene's mouth. But, no, I'm just kidding. I don't consider Mulberry Satan to be Mulberry Satan. I consider him to be Mulberry Bill. But maybe the reason why you wouldn't take my call, guys, is because we are feuding over this whole Toy Story 3 mumbo jumbo, and it's just, I've had enough.
Now, what's that all about?
And I'm ready to just drop it, and I'm ready to just be friends again. And I think we've always been friends, but I think it was a little deep-seated hatred, at least on my end. But I'm done with that now, and I'm ready to have you guys start answering my calls when I call into the show on Fridays, because this is just getting out of hand, guys, and we, you know, we need to do something about it. So, whatever.
What is he talking? Sounded like he was about to cry.
I'm listening to episode 163, Karma Points, and it's hilarious. It's such a good show, actually. It's if I had enough time and was organized enough to put together a Adam from the Bay Area's top 10 Mulberry picks or whatever, this would probably be like a swinging in there at a number 3, something like that.
Nice.
That's stupid, but no, it's funny, and it's the first voicemail from Rick ever is on there, and it's just hilarious to hear you guys react to Rick from Australia and some of the funny little things that he does. And just, you guys were like, okay, I'd say definitely inebriated and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. But, on the TiVo segment,
rambling on.
That's where Joan Rivers' daughter gets kicked off. And Joan Rivers is so calling people pit viper whores and a Nazi and a follower. And, you know, Annie Duke's from Vegas, so she's a nothing and she doesn't have a last name. And, you know, this is all about money. Your money has blood on it, and it's just hilarious. It's like, geez, Joan, it's a TV show. I mean, but it was awesome TV, and I never watched it, but I listened to it on your guys' show. So anyways, I like to call in with these specifics because I think I've heard you guys say in the past that specific things were, you know, oh, this segment was really funny. So I want to let you guys know, even though it's, you know, 40, 50 episodes ago, it was pretty funny. So anyways, hey, have a good week, and I'm just going to keep trying to call. And
hey, you finally got a hold of me.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. All right. Bye.
All right, thanks, Adam.
We weren't ignoring you.
Adam, thanks.
We just weren't here to answer.
You were at the water park.
You know, Adam, I love that you do that, because back when that episode aired, or whenever we did it, I probably thought it was funny and, you know, wait for like kind of like looking around. There's nobody there, you know, like I'll listen back to the show and think it's funny. But I love that you go back and you listen to those and you tell me about it. Like Laura is doing that now and telling me about funny stuff from past episodes. And I love that.
Sweet. Well, I know that you like it. And I know that those specific things, it is encouraging and it like helps you, you know, like keep going or whatever. But sometimes when I listen to him on the show, I'm thinking to myself, dude, you are just really like lingering and rambling. So,
no.
So maybe I should like,
will it help you self-edit next time? Maybe.
<He'll> self-edit.
He's going to write down notes next time. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, you know, me and my friend Eric at work have started a Nowhere in Mulberry bucket. So every time we're listening to old school, again, and so every time we find a moment that we think is hilarious, we're writing it down on a little block of baseboard or a scrap of trim, and we throw it in that bucket. So maybe someday we'll do something neat with all those clips and all that stuff.
Nice. So, like a what do you call that, like a collage or
I want to say montage, maybe?
Montage, yeah.
A montage collage.
Montage,
I like that.
Yeah.
Look at you, Steven. Rhyming Simon over there.
Without my art lingo.
I'm going to throw in a Kuroskiro kind of thing. Nah, I got nothing. Now, Adam, do you pull yourself away from the mic every once in a while when you're talking?
Maybe.
It kind of fades in and out.
Little stretch there, so I don't know.
It's like in the Chocolate Rain video when he turns away to take a breath.
The Chocolate Rain.
Have you guys ever... There's this dude at McDonald's the other day. I kid you not. Like, the dude that took my order, I was like, that's the guy from Chocolate Rain, I swear. Like, that's him. He looks dead on.
Tay Zonde. Yeah. I remember his name. That guy's a celebrity. Tay Zonde.
Tay Zonde. There you go.
I'm still waiting to see him in the airport one day. I know I'm going to see sitting next to him on the plane. I'd be like, holy shit.
It's a celebrity.
Well, Dad actually came over to my house, and he was all frantic, and he said, you have to see this. It's the greatest thing ever. And he made me watch that.
Chocolate Rain?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that like this week? It's like, Dad, this is really old.
You know, he gets kind of manic about things. So.
You gotta see this. You're scaring me. Stop it.
It's incredible.
Terry's always been a little behind on the time.
Yeah. All right, guys. We got a Sean voicemail. Let's check it out. We all love Sean. Right, Adam? Woo. You love him too, right?
Yes, indeed.
Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry guys. It's Sean here. Oh. I had to leave you guys a really quick message to let you know how much I enjoyed your last show.
He's floating. There was...
a good chunk of time towards the beginning of the show when you guys got started where you guys were just on a roll. I mean, like, everything you guys were playing and commenting on and your comments were just awesome. I mean, from Adam's Jack in a Box voicemail and then the Mulberry news break, which was really awesome. I had to actually pause my iPod when I was listening to it at work and give myself a few minutes to compose myself because I was laughing so hard. I couldn't even keep listening. That's how funny it was. And the good thing is that I was going to listen to the podcast at the gym, but work was really boring that day. So I was like, I'll put some Mulberry on. Yeah, I'll just listen to it here. And I'm glad I did that because if I listened to it at the gym, I probably would have dropped a weight on my head and killed myself.
Oh my God.
And you probably would have had a story on this week's show about how some idiot killed himself at the gym because he was laughing so hard. So I'm glad we avoided that. And then after the, you know, Bigfoot in Cleveland stuff, the clips of the Emmy nominations with that chick from Modern Family, how she pronounced all those names, that was gold also. And also, yes, I'm really happy that Mr. and Mrs. Coach got nominated for Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
So yeah, there's just that really, really awesome chunk of time from the last show that just had me rolling on the floor with laughter, and I pretty much never stopped laughing for a good half an hour. So thank you guys so much for that, and hopefully there will be lots more of these moments in this week's show. Yes, looking forward to it already, guys.
Well, thank you, Sean. That's awesome, and I love your mic, by the way. That's awesome. Just that kind of like, whoa, he's
he
all around.
He has a very calming voice, doesn't he?
He does. It's therapeutic.
Soothing.
I want Sean to just like read my favorite books to me. Like, okay, I'm going to lay down, tuck me in, and then Sean just once upon a time is like, I'm not, but he has a very calming voice. I like it. And Sofia Vergara, she's great at like when she did the Emmy nominations. Liz.
Kyra Sedgwick, The Closer.
Yeah, I would love to see her like present everywhere, like where she stumbles over everybody's name. The Kyra Sedgwick.
Yeah, hilarious.
Now, Adam, you're when you went to Jack in the Box, how were those tacos, by the way?
Oh, man, they were so good. It's so terrible to eat that and actually put that in your body, but...
Oh, they're so good. I love them.
It's so good, but I'm so happy because when I didn't intend on doing that, and I don't know if I told you the story behind it, but I'm like, you know what? I keep forgetting, because I think there was like a two-show period where I didn't send in a voicemail, and like the shows just kept creeping up, and I'm like, crap, I forgot to send another one. So I was like, I'm doing it right before I order my food. I don't care. And the line like moved up two cars like within like 30 seconds. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, hold on. Oh, you're going to have to edit this. And then after I finished it, I was like, dear God, please don't let Jason edit that. I hope he plays it.
Oh, you know I will. Gold. That's what I said when I heard it. I loved it.
It came out.
It came out.
And I love the lady who's like, would you like curly fries? And you're like, you have a sign that says you're out of curly fries?
Yeah, it was good. It worked out very well.
Good stuff.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Jason, I used to make those midnight runs up to Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah. Remember when they had those chicken taquitos? Oh, man, those are good.
Tacos, terrible.
That stuff
is bad.
And their curly fries, love them.
Seasoned curlies.
All right, guys, we have one more voicemail. This one from Rick. Hey!
Yeah.
Let's check out and see what Rick's doing. Oh, dear.
He's done some production.
Hey, guys, it's Rick here. Obviously, you know that already because you just announced. Let's hear what Rick has to say. Yeah, I kind of like that bit because that means you're talking about me and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I get to listen to my own voice for a while. Like, I never get to do it when I'm actually speaking. It's good to hear it back every now and then, don't you think? I think that's why Jason likes listening to the old shows, so he can hear himself because he loves the sound of his voice.
You know it.
I know where you're coming from. I enjoy that too, listening to your voice, especially if you said something that you thought was funny, like, yeah, man. I can just imagine everybody laughing at that line. That was some sweet laughter. So,
he lost me.
Yeah, that's, yeah. And last week I had like a, a late shift in the week. Like I only do like 2 days a week, and it was like Thursday, Friday was my shifts, and they were. So I saved the voicemail. Come on, Rick, get with it. No, I'm drunk, so it doesn't matter.
Imagine that.
So I saved the podcast for Thursday, Friday, and I was working with someone else, so I could only really play the podcast while they were on break. So it took me like 2 days to listen to the show. And so like Friday night, it's finished. I get up and do the podcast at about 11 or 12 Saturday. So I've got to get it to you before then. And so I woke up Saturday planning on doing it, went to my personal training session and forgot. And then it came to like 2 o'clock and I was like, oh shit, I forgot to send a voicemail. So I was planning to do it. I just forgot and kind of, didn't get around to it, but I was kind of really
serious priorities are,
but I was like, I bet you they don't even notice. But you did notice, so I was happy about that fact. So that's why it's good every now and then to just let it slide and see if you realize that you're
anything slide.
You know, your man Rick didn't send one. Okay, there's so many edit points in this thing. I'm gonna have to go back and just like cut. Yeah, cut that bit out. That was crap.
You
didn't
to edit
say
it,
anything for like 30 seconds. You're drunk. Cut it out. Wow, a lot of phlegm at the moment. That's what happens.
Didn't cut that.
Yeah, he didn't
skull
cut that.
Free beers. Skull. Do they say that in America? Skull? Where you just like chug a whole beer. In Australia, we call that sculling. You just sculled it.
We call it chug.
We just call it chug.
Right now.
Very complicated things.
Anyway, great show last week. You guys just like make my day at work when I get to listen to you guys. I'm like, yeah, they're talking about interesting shit that I love every week. You know, I appreciate what you guys do because you got the effing longest podcast there is that is interesting all the way through, and I haven't even really seen a podcast that's longer, so I'm thinking you guys have got the longest weekly podcast there is.
Yeah.
If that's not a selling point, I don't know what the hell is, especially because, you know, podcasts are there to fill your time.
Longest podcast.
At least a laptop.
Also, well, me, it's all about filling time. That's what I want because I do long 12-hour shifts. I need my time filled. And your podcast just makes my day worthwhile. If I'm going to work, I'm like, yes, I got an episode of Nowhere in Mulberry up my sleeve. This day is going to be all right. Because it's a pretty boring, brainless job otherwise. But the only thing I do is... yeah, so thank you. And we'll catch you next week. This was Rick from Australia, and I have not seen anything lately. Robot Rick almost took over there for a second. I had to cut that bit out because it was like... all that stuff, and nobody can understand what the hell I'm saying. But this was Rick from Australia, and I'm going to watch a movie. So next week, I'm going to review a movie, and it's going to be amazing, and everyone's just going to blow their mind about how awesome my review of that movie was.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I will be so surprised if you actually play that whole freak out session where I just lose my shit. So yeah, bye guys, have a great show.
That's proof that I do not edit Rick's voicemails, isn't it?
Wow.
So what'd you think of that, Adam, huh?
I thought that was hilarious, and I got a really good idea from Montreal guy in the chat room. He said, as soon as he heard Rick's voice, he said, 3 beers, I bet. And then as soon as it ended, he said, 6 to 8 beers, I bet. I think if we could get Rick to keep track of the amount of beers or drinks he had had before his voicemail. And then you guys, you, Steven, and Bill would then guess, and then like he would tell you next week who got it right or who got it.
Because it is possible he's pausing and letting time pass, then coming back and finishing the voicemail, isn't it? Bathroom break, maybe?
It's possible. Yeah,
that was hilarious at the end there. I kind
of lost it. Adam, I want you to turn your mic up just a little bit. Just a tad.
I can't. I don't have the option to do that.
No, you sound good.
Yeah,
right
you
now.
Just got louder.
Yeah, it's like
you willed it.
You'll drift and you'll get real quiet and then you'll get loud again. So,
all right, I will try to do like be disciplined enough to stay right up on it. So.
Yes, you must have discipline to podcast.
Yes,
I could say without that. All right, let's check out Entertainment. Whee! Ah, yes, Entertainment. Yes, we all love entertainment. It's how we get entertained.
Good one.
Well said.
Thank you. I try. You know, it's just like, you throw things at the wall and you see what sticks.
Where do you come up with this shit?
Hey. Now, I went to see the movie called Inception, the Christopher Nolan movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio. Did anybody else see that?
I wish. I want to see it.
No.
What about you, Adam?
But of course.
Yes, finally somebody else has seen Inception. What'd you think of it?
It's awesome, and I don't know why more films aren't made like that, and they should be, and it was delicious. And
delicious.
Christopher Nolan is like the man. He's like the Pixar of film.
The Pixar.
That's what he's being called because he's not making any bad movies. Like The Dark Knight.
That's pressure.
It was very well made. I really enjoyed the film. I didn't have like – I was excited to see it, but I wasn't let down by it. You know, so many films these days or when you go to see them, you're just a little let down. Like, it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought it was
great. Just sit back and let it come to you.
Right. Yeah. Let the movie come to you. Exactly. And I did let Inception come to me. And in fact, I won't spoil anything for Steven or Laura, but I think it's a really well-made film. A very cool and, what can I say?
Well, does it mess with your head?
I kind of figured I was going to see it with you, but, you know, he wound up taking his wife, you know.
Yeah. Took your wife?
Sorry.
I took my wife, too.
Sorry, Steven. Awesome. But it wasn't like... it didn't mess with my mind, really. I took it. It almost has one of those ambivalent type of things. You know what I mean, Adam? Where I don't know. It's like I have to be cryptic. I don't want to spoil it for Steven or Laura or anything.
Yeah, it's too bad because I was really looking to just get into the meat of this movie because it's you need to go see it, Steven and Laura, like tonight. Like as soon as you're done, take your headphones off. Microphone. Come down. On,
Steven, you want to go? Let's go.
March down to the theater and go
okay,
see it.
I'll tell you what. You guys leave.
We'll
right
leave.
Go see it.
We'll come we'll back. Come You'll back get into the meat of it.
And we'll finish this podcast.
My dad said he thought it was like an intellectual James Bond film in a way.
Yeah.
In a way, it's kind of like a caper film in a way, if you think of it, with this cool science fiction element thrown in there. Wouldn't you say?
I would have to agree. And one thing that, you know, my younger cousin came over and she had seen it the night before that she came to visit us and then said she was going back the following day. Because it was just too confusing. And so I was kind of a little apprehensive, like, oh, man, is this going to be one of those thinkers? And I'm going to be on NIMH on Friday, and I have to talk about it. I better really get into it and find out. But it's not, really. And that is some people's nitpicky argument about it. It was just too confusing to enjoy. But honestly, I didn't see that at all. I mean, there were certain aspects of it that can be maybe dissected and try to get down to the bottom of exactly how it makes sense for the film.
Right.
But you can sit back and just enjoy it, you know, and I did. And it wasn't as confusing as I thought.
Maybe some people are fidgety a lot and they're not paying attention or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I would have tried to see it, but there was no movie theater in the little town I was in.
Oh, my God. Bummer. God, where the hell were you?
Yeah, where were you?
Hoboken.
Oh, my gosh. You don't even want to know.
What was it?
Baxter, Minnesota.
That nice. Sounds like fun.
But I highly recommend Inception. It's a great film. And I'll definitely – it's one of those movies that I'm going to watch more than once. And I've already read some people trying to decipher things in it, Adam. Like there's a lot of little subtle details and Easter eggs that you might not pick up the first time. So it's definitely worth watching multiple times.
Definitely. Yeah. We've talked in the past about our DVD, like enormous DVD collections and how out of control it is. And I've really tamed myself. Like I've come down on buying a lot of movies, but this is definitely one where I'm like, gonna have to get this one cause it's awesome. And I rarely go to the movies as it is, like to the actual theaters, but I would pay to see it again, no doubt.
You know, one thing it has going for it is it's not like any other film I've seen before. You know, I could compare it to maybe Dennis Quaid's Dreamscape.
The Matrix,
no,
man.
Didn't.
It's the same thing as The Matrix. They're just tapping in and going into this artificial world. That's the other thing I've heard people say where it's like, yeah but it's not, though.
I tried to turn off the cynical, like, guy, you know.
Right.
Same guy who said Avatar was just...
was Fern Gully?
Yes, Fern Gully.
Right. Well, and there's always that guy that they have to be the cool guy.
I should have been the one
that saw through it first and said, no, see, I told you guys I didn't like it.
Yeah,
but no.
I saw this the first time when it was called Dreamscape with Dennis Quaid. Hello. It's like, oh...
Just like when everybody went and saw The Matrix, and they're like, yeah, I like it when it was called Johnny Mnemonic.
Yikes. I don't know if anybody did that. Awesome. Where's the dolphin, the smart dolphin or whatever?
No, but I'd have to say that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, or however you say his name, the kid from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Fantastic job, man. Did a great job.
He's always
all
good.
Grown up, you know.
Have you seen Brick?
No, but I heard that he was in another movie that was he did a really good
he's
job.
That's it in Brick, yeah.
Yeah, I have to check that one.
I call
out
him
too.
Jogo Levitt.
Jogo, I like Jogo. That.
Yes. That's great. Huge fan of the Jogo. Now, I also saw Stephen, I did take you to see Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yes.
Huh?
Oh, you're lucky.
Fun for the whole family. That's like, you know, like a family film with like Nicolas Cage and stuff. It's all fun and everything.
And what did you think of that?
It was fun.
It was good times.
It was just fun. It wasn't anything, you know. You wouldn't think it was going to be anything other than just what it was. It was just something goofy.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, it wasn't like anything special or anything. It was just
I just remember
fun.
You going, why is Nick doing this? And then when it came on, I was like, there's the reason why. Because John Turteltaub.
Yeah.
Was the director.
Turtle
really?
Dob.
Yeah.
Turtle Dob.
My mother-in-law took both my sons to see that. And when My older son came home. He was mad at me for making him see that.
Why?
Well, he's pretty cynical anyway. But he was like, that's the last time I go see a movie with Nicolas Cage in it.
So, Dinner for Schmucks, anybody going to go see that?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it.
You know, it's like, I think it looks mean-spirited, but I love the people that's in it. Zach Galifianakis, Paul Rudd, Steve Carell.
Agreed.
I'm kind of wondering, it looks like it could be mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
And is what's his name, wife, kind of turn that and try to make it not so mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when she's the one telling him, don't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I love Paul Rudd, so I think I'm about checking out. What do you think?
Looks like a Doppler radar.
Exactly, Adam.
Yeah, no, I love him too, and I love Steve Carell. I'm a big fan of The Office.
It looks
so
like the Doppler radar.
Nice. So I'm definitely going to check that one out, but it's like, you know, I'm not looking for comic genius in this particular type of film. We'll probably walk away with a few laughs and just have fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, what do you guys say we get into what's on our TiVos, huh? We
got
that
a sounds
little,
good.
Got a lot of shows to talk about.
Looks like a poltergeist.
Huh? What, the TiVo does? Huh? Ah, yes. All right, let's check out Big Brother. I'm just making sure nothing's wrong.
I know.
Yeah, I kind of flicked it. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We got a lot of shit hooked up.
Yeah,
here.
You do.
Adam, you ought to see all the wires. We've got three headsets all jacked into the computer.
Oh, wow.
We're jacked in.
Got a Y adapter, a couple Y adapters going there.
You need to see this octopus we got going. Now, let's talk about Big Brother, because it's been a while since we've done a show, and the crazy guy, Andrew, they all seem to, you know, it's like every week on Big Brother, it's who is the pariah this week that we need to get out? And this week it's Andrew. And Andrew, what I love about this guy is he doesn't just like want to get nominated and just be quiet about it. He wants to stir up some shit, you know. So he decides to call everyone out when he's on the block, the power veto block. So it's great how Brendan, he tells Brendan, I'm coming after you and Rachel, you know, his love interest. And I also want you to use the veto on me to take me off. And they're like, what?
Yeah, I did not understand it at all.
But I loved it because he's just so crazy. And they're all like, what? Like, it's great. He just kind of puts a spin on it where they're all like, this guy's insane.
Well, it kind of gave away what his motives were.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
I'm tired of being the pawn. I'm tired of being the scapegoat. It's time I put the fate in my own hands, because at this point, I don't have anything else to lose. So I've got to take care of myself.
Hey, everyone, it's time for the veto meeting. I want to give each of the nominees a chance to tell me why you think I should use the veto to save you.
I'm not going to sit here and ask you to use the veto on me. And you're going to risk a chance of having Rachel possibly be put up in my spot. And I don't want that to happen.
This game is ironic. A few weeks ago, Brandon and Rachel ousted Matt.
Dakotas.
And they saved him by voting for him to stay in the house.
Since you're all over that Big Brother house.
Matt fired back and said, I'm going after Brandon and Rachel, but he didn't put them up on the block. All three of them unscarred from the whole weeks that passed.
Put some bongos in there.
Their strategy worked, so I'm going to try that strategy. Brandon and Rachel, I'm coming after you.
Somebody's banging on the door.
Don't let him in.
Cellar door.
And
a big mess.
Brandon, I would like for you to give me the power veto. Save me.
They're all like, huh?
Yeah, they all had that confused look
decided
on
their
face. Whoa. They need to, like, have that house sprayed.
Not to use the power veto.
If the house thinks that I'm gunning for Rachel and Brendan, then they're likely to keep me in and feel that we're all together trying
good
to get
plan
Brendan and Rachel out of this house.
I'm coming after you, Brendan and Rachel. Please use the veto on me. What?
The truth is, Andrew and I, we devised a little plan to make sure that he stays in this house and that I don't go home as well. I think it was a risky move, but I think that Andrew pulled it off, and I think it's going to ensure that he's going to stay here for at least another week.
He's definitely going to be sticking
around. Yeah.
So then last night, none of that meant anything because they wanted to get Andrew out anyway. But what I loved is how he did his big speech about, like, everyone wants Brendan and Rachel out of the house because they're having a relationship. But Hayden and Kristen, they're having a secret relationship. And they're making out, giving massages, and all sorts of other stuff. So you got to watch out for them. And I thought that was great. Let's check this out. I just love how they keep the one girl, Kristen. She was going, oh, what? Like, how, what? You're like, watch out for this one. She's like, please, stop it.
You're both there. You can hear it. Don't play me like a fiddle. I know you're playing me. Don't do it anymore.
Everybody thought I was going after Brendan and Rachel. There's a reason why I wasn't. Is there someone else in this house that have a stronger relationship? It's a romantic relationship. It's Kristen and Hayden. You need help to get this relationship out. When I was in the Taj room sleeping at night, these guys would get together. Kristen would get into the bed. They would do massages. They're kissing. They're doing more. The difference is that these people are out. These two are not out. You have to break up two alliances in this house. They said bad things about people. One, Brittany, these are not about me. Brittany, unfortunately, she doesn't like the way you talk. Reagan, she thinks she has you in your pocket, and she's going to control you if pushing your ego up. Lane, Hayden does love you. He's just taking you to fourth and fifth. Enzo, I can't say it because you're my friend, but the things they said about your intelligence was wrong. I'm here. I want to take them out. That's the reason why you need me in the house. You got to keep the votes. Watch out for Kristen, guys. Captain Kosher out.
Andrew, you're Captain Kosher.
Big brother. Wow.
Dream of thought.
The guy was entertaining. You can say that much for him, right?
Yeah.
But what was great about, he wore the yarmulke, and whenever you get angry, he could always rip it off his head and throw it.
You mean the Yom Kippur?
Yeah,
the
Yom Kippur. Yeah, that's right. He's wearing a Yom Kippur or something. I love that.
He's wearing
that.
A dreidel on his head.
I love that. And that girl, Rachel, that laugh of hers. But, Laura, I made you watch Big Brother.
Yes.
To be on the show. Hey, catch up on Big Brother. What did you think of that?
There were many times when I wanted to turn it off.
It's a really dumb show.
I was like, they're all scheming against
it's
each
painful.
Other, and the women are annoying. And
he wears a Yom Kippur.
Exactly.
And all their plots, they don't make any sense.
Yeah, but you do have Rachel's laugh, though, right?
That's a great laugh, I have to admit.
What about
you to jump on those big wieners?
I love that. All right, well, we'll talk more about Big Brother next week. It's very interesting stuff. I got nothing. All right, Hell's Kitchen. Ah, we've missed a couple of Hell's Kitchens, I think. And I was trying to think of what has been memorable that's happened recently. There was Jay and Holly almost getting down in the hot tub.
Oh, and then the big C block,
Autumn was like, hey, guys! And
I brought towels!
Yeah. But my favorite part was...
You see the girl's ass up in the air and the other guy's face, and the chick comes and gets in the hot tub. It's like...
What about Benjamin getting yelled at by Chef Scott? Do you remember that? This is great. Let's check this out. Basically, Chef Ramsay steps out, and he's like, I'll take over his job. And he goes, hey, we got so-and-so. He's like, wait, hold on a second here. And Chef Scott, he's just in the background.
You hardly never see him get angry, hardly.
And all of a sudden, he's in this dude's face yelling at him like a drill instructor. Let's check this out. It's gold, mostly because I think Benjamin's a douchebag.
Are you okay?
He's like talking to me.
I try to communicate, and it's hard to stay clear on each station and be like really, really vocal.
I'm talking in his ear. He's not even answering me.
But I was hustling. I was hustling on that station.
You're going right now.
All right.
Where's the halibut garnish?
Ben tanked tonight. He didn't meet up to anybody's standards, not his own and not Chef Ramsay.
He should do something to help out.
Talk to me, Benjamin.
Halibut garnish, chef.
As Chef Ramsay leaves the kitchen for a quick moment.
Turn
sous chef Scott steps in to keep the momentum going.
Hot sizzle platter, chef. Tuna.
Wish I had a garnish for the tuna.
Garnish for the tuna, chef.
And Benjamin unwisely decides this would be a good time to become a leader.
Next pickup. Two chicken.
Hey.
Unfortunately for him, Chef Scott is not impressed.
You think for 1 minute you're going to start running this fast? You may be a
good cook, but you suck as a leader.
Yes, chef.
If you think you're going to do my job, I'll leave right now. You think you can do it?
No, chef.
You think you can put up with all this?
No, chef.
I know you can. Now get the over there and don't ever come up to my pad again and try to take my place.
Holy crap. I don't think Ben had a good night.
You got it?
Yes, chef.
Get over there.
Chef Scott, ripped a... You know, ripped my... this big. That totally sucked.
What? I didn't even understand the bleeps there. I guess he said he ripped him a new a-hole.
Mm-hmm. It that big.
It's like, oh, I can't even decipher it. But that's not the end of it. Now, please tell me you watched this week's episode, Steve.
I did.
Did you recognize the guy on the episode? Chef Ramsay brings in these four bachelors to teach cooking, right?
Yes.
One guy was the nerdy guy from Seducing Cindy. The guy that Holly had. Remember he got the hot pocket in his face? It was him!
Which guy?
Like, he was the guy that the girl had. She was flirting with him.
Oh.
And the best part about this when she says, I decided to flirt with him and they cue porn music. What?
That's creative.
She's teaching him how to cook? I don't get it. But let's.
I could just hear like the sound guys or like whoever's doing the soundtrack like, dude, hey, check out this part where she's going to flirt. Genius idea. Check it out. Porn music. Yeah. Just came up with it. Never done before.
The guy's a smartass to Gordon Ramsay. Goes, any day now. Like when he's eating and Gordon Ramsay like looks at him like, what? I'm gonna beat your ass. Let's check this out. Gold.
Now, big question. Do you all think you can recreate that dish for me?
Yes, yes, chef.
Excellent. Because today, I'm going to test your ability to teach.
I thought, holy Ben is an instructor. This is what he does for a living. I'm screwed 100%.
But to make it fair, you're all getting students with the same amount of experience. Zero. Guys, come on,
whoa,
please.
What the hell is that?
Good morning.
You're rocking out.
Damn, that's
awesome. I was hoping for beauty queens or some strippers or something along my lines. And then, okay, four guys. Good looking guys, but not my type.
These four young, cool dude bachelors, they know absolutely nothing. And each one of you is going to teach them how to roast a monkfish. When was the last time you were in a kitchen?
To actually do something?
They're pretty. They can't cook.
Chef Ramsay believes that to be a great chef, it is essential to be a great teacher. Now that only four chefs remain, he has designed this challenge to determine their teaching abilities.
What is he doing, honey?
The chef who helps his student most closely recreate Chef Ramsay's dish will win the challenge.
5 minutes gone, guys.
So go ahead and lift your monkfish up on the plate right here. Oh, come monkfish. On, you're a man. Lift up the skin, and you're just going to, like, kind of peel it off.
Come on, flip it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think you're a natural. You're going to be, like, super chef after this.
Cool.
You'll be married within 2 days.
He didn't see right through that.
He's like a lost puppy. So the first thing I started working on is being a little flirtatious.
Steve, we're a couple.
Your pepper is very beautiful.
That's what I've been told. I wasn't worried about Holly, the gentleman she was
what's
with.
This
a little on the feminine side.
Monkfish coming through.
With blue jays smoking. Just watching them get it together, it was definitely monkfish the hard way.
I just pick up land?
Yes, yes. Cool. You can touch everything with your hands. Okay. Not quite.
Ooh, that's hot.
What do they call a health kitchen?
Yeah. Woo!
Chris and Holly. Let's go. Ryan, what is that?
The percussion. This is show's awesome.
Monkfish. Mm-hmm. Made with love.
Made with love.
Yes.
Made with love. What the hell was that?
Special love sauce. On.
Take your time.
Whoa. Over the line.
You don't tell a chef how to eat.
He's going to throw a hot pocket in your face, dude.
Chef Ramsay would have thrown the plate at you.
I won't seduce him, Cindy. Show was shit.
It tastes delicious.
Really? I mean, yes.
That's the first perfect potato I've had. And monkfish slightly hashed as opposed to being carved. However, at least we have got all the monkfish on there. Good job. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
I like when he goes, what's in the potatoes? Potatoes. He doesn't know. It's potatoes. Wow.
It's potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
They've just got that on standby. Oh, cue the porn music. Guy runs over there, hits a button real quick. Oh, whew. That'd be great if they just scored it all on the fly as the show is going on.
They should release a soundtrack for that show.
The sound effects never stop.
Well, I was watching his other one where he Kitchen Nightmares, but it was the BBC. Mm-hmm. They pushed the American version over on BBC America.
Oh, yeah, I love
it. Cut all the sound out.
Yeah, they
got rid of it. I was this is a different show. Where's all the cicadas?
And they can say shit and stuff on it. I love it. Because did you notice they have bad words on it, except for the F-bomb?
Yeah.
That's gold.
Maybe they think we need to be entertained with all the sound effects.
Yeah, like, oh, my interest is waning. Oh, a cicada. Okay, I'm going to turn my head back.
And now I understand a brilliant
music. Holy cow, yes. Why are my pants still on?
Wow.
Oh, that's wrong.
So, I have not watched Kitchen Nightmares, but partly it's because I don't want to because it's so annoying with the sound. I do want to watch the BBC version of it, though, but I don't know how to get my hands on it.
You could just turn it to that channel.
DirecTV.
Sorry,
BBC America.
No, I think it might be on DVD, Adam. You might check it out that way. You know, I like the American version, honestly, because it gives us so much material to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
I love those sound effects. What the hell?
But it's a completely different show when you're watching it and there's no sound effects, so it's like, am I bored now? I'm a little on the sound.
Exactly.
Now, he also had this show called Master Chef, Gordon Ramsay, that is. And, Laura, you were talking about it. It's basically American Idol, but with cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get to see this, Adam?
No, but my friend Eric was telling me about it, and that's the exact way he described it to me.
It's just people, normal people, trying out for to become Master Chef. And they're going through the audition process right now where you make a fool of yourself and make horrible food. And it's Gordon Ramsay and two other guys. One guy I've seen on Top Chef before, or Top Chef Masters.
The big heavyset guy?
Yeah, he's been on Top Chef Masters. He might even be a guest.
Christopher or something?
Yeah, and the other guy looks like, I was like, oh, he's going to be the asshole guy.
But yeah, that's what I thought.
I also thought Gordon Ramsay was kind of harsh in a lot of things he said. Didn't you?
Yeah.
So that was kind of scary.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I know. But the one thing is, did you guys... You checked out the very beginning, right? Like where they're showing, like, on MasterChef, people are all competing. You know, that kind of thing. That lasted, like, 15 minutes or something, didn't it? Like,
they could have gone through everybody in the audition site, you know, instead of just half of
trying to
of
stretch
them.
It out.
Exactly, yeah. So there was this one guy here. Who auditioned? He was kind of like,
maybe they're trying to feel the show out, see if it was any, if people were liking it or not.
There was this guy who was way too cocky and arrogant, and just trying to be too much of a jokester. And he even kind of mimics Gordon Ramsay's accent. I was like, dude, what are you doing? You know, like he's kind of teasing him or whatever. And let's check this out because
they call him out.
Hard. I love it. He goes, "There's such a thing as." Arrogance, so and the guy you just see is like,
yeah, he broke down pretty quick.
Like his eyes is crying, just like everybody burst into tears so fast on that. But let's check it out. See a grown man cry, or I guess hear a grown man cry. Yeah,
well,
okay.
You saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. All right, let's check it out.
Our next contestant, David Miller from Boston, has no problems talking the talk.
Today I'm making my signature dish, New England-style bouillabaisse. Bouillabaisse, traditionally from Provence in France.
But his personality is definitely an acquired taste.
Blam! Yes! As I hit myself in the face with a towel. I know you want some. I'm confident as hell. Are you kidding? You want to try it? It's right there. Please do.
There goes. There goes.
The question is, can the judges stomach David and his dish?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Could be a lot worse, thank you.
Could be a lot worse. That
could
sounds positive. Now,
worse.
First name
could
is?
Could be a lot worse. Dave.
Dave, from where?
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, sir.
Boston, Massachusetts. Are you acting or are you trying to be normal?
I'm like this all the time.
Wow.
All the time.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a software engineer.
A what?
A software engineer.
Software engineer.
Sir, yes.
What are you making for us?
Today I have a New England style bouillabaisse.
Didn't you want to go, dude,
it takes 2 days to make the perfect bouillabaisse. You're doing this in 1 hour.
1 hour, sir.
Love the confidence.
Some people call me cocky. I prefer overconfident.
overconfident. Are you setting yourself up for a fall, or are you just a bloody good chef?
You sound like a salt shaker in the background.
Find out, won't we? Wow. So can you give us a preview? What do you got?
Well, again, I'm heating up the bouillabaisse right now. I have a crouton, and I'm working on my rouille.
Wait, vous êtes français?
Je parle petit peu.
D'accord. Donc, on fait quoi maintenant, alors?
Pardon? Doucement, s'il vous plaît.
Is this you normally?
This is really, honestly,
Or is this a Christmas pantomime? Am I missing the boat? Hey, have we just been punked?
Oh, wow. Nice.
Here's the good news. It smells good.
Yeah.
There's one fundamental mistake.
Here's where it gets serious.
That is definitely not a bouillabaisse. Let's get that right.
He's going to cry. He's going to cry.
Thank you, the cheers.
Let me ask you one critical question. Why did you come on MasterChef?
I put my heart and soul
in it. Me on TV.
I'm stuck behind a desk all day, and I'm good at it, but I don't like it.
I want to be an actor.
I love this.
So my problem is, when you're good at something, it creates a confidence. When you're insecure about something, it creates an arrogance. A great bouillabaisse takes 2 days to make, minimum. And that is not a bouillabaisse.
Oh,
arrogant chefs are like blondes in Hollywood. And I'm being serious now. So pull back the smokescreen. What is the real you? Get the bravado, yeah, in the oven.
This is
what's
insecure,
you
man.
On a plate. What is
it's
this?
Like therapy.
This isn't it.
Thank you.
Give me another chance.
I was abused.
I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but
I was raped.
Oh, my God.
Oh, just lost the appetite.
Is it the talent?
By a chef.
Or is it the joker?
Are you a midnight toker?
I'm a no.
Wow.
It's the joker.
You're a space cowboy.
What do you think, Joe?
I'm more of a Riddler.
Really?
Really?
Because if not, I have him to deal with.
Yeah, I love the one guy, the bald guy.
You gonna bring it?
I'm gonna bring it.
You gonna bring it?
You got
bro.
It.
Wow.
Do me a favor. Come here.
I love this scary scream he delivers when he
yeah.
Runs out. Oh, my God.
He had a breakthrough.
He's got a knife in his chest. Oh, no, he stabbed me in the heart.
You're not putting anything on for these guys. They see right through what little facade you have.
Little facade.
I have a feeling that's not the last of the Joker.
Yeah.
It's a dream come true, really.
Hey, it's that guy. I knew it. You know, did you guys notice one thing about the episode, though? Did we ever see this guy try out?
I'm going to be cooking for Gordon Ramsay in Los Angeles.
No.
That guy's in the opening. Where the hell is he cooking his food?
He's still got to be the next section.
I never got on the bus. I missed it. Shit.
My horse delivered him.
I wanted this guy to show up and he goes, I made you some moonshine special. And they're like, well, thank you very much.
This is what I cook.
Yeah. Don't spill it in the grass. It'll kill it. Ding. It's like, where'd that cuspidor come from? Did you guys see the scene? So next week, this guy's like, I was born with only 3 feet.
Yes.
Or whatever. And I was like, I'm not eating your food. I just lost my appetite.
You freak.
It's the freaking guy.
If it's finger food, I'm not eating.
There's not enough here for everybody. I've only got 3 fingers. But seriously, that guy, I think it's awesome. You persevere through all the, you know, the whatever you're dealt in life. But seriously, don't make me anything to eat. You're making me sick to my stomach, you know?
At least I don't want to see it.
Is it bad that the first thing I thought when I saw his 3 fingers was Total Recall? Hey, Quaid! The guy's got his big, long, 3-fingered hand. Quaid!
He'd been the great one to push the butt at the end, yeah.
And he's like, screw you! That's what that reminded me of. I mean, I guess it should be more, what would you
delicate?
Say? Empathetic. And I am, you know? But
yeah, he's real empathetic.
But seriously, look at his hands. You know, the first thing I think of is Ninja Turtle hands, or like
awesome.
I thought Ewok hands. The Theremin kids from the 50s, 60s. You know, they called them the Lobster Kids. You know, because their hands are like lobster claws.
Danny DeVito, like in the Penguin. Oh my god. Wow. Now, guys, well, you know what? I don't want to brush by MasterChef because it's such an incredible premiere. But I will say this before
this was just a warm up to
yeah,
the show.
And I thought it was a good warm up. I was interested.
I really want a serving of those funeral potatoes.
What about the big black guy? Farouk, and he's like made these butterflies out of cheese.
The macaroni and cheese, yeah.
And that part where he goes, go get your family, and he brings in his kid, and the guy's just crying, and he's like, they're just stretching it out, and they're like, go give this to your husband. And he's like, oh. Everybody's like crying on the show.
I want to know how many grown men you're going to see cry on that show.
At least the guy with the funeral potatoes didn't cry, you know, he's like, what? You don't like him?
That was his signature dish, and he put it on. Yeah, he thought he could be a master chef with that.
I like he goes, does it always look brown like this? He goes, yep. He's like, looks like diarrhea.
Should it be a little thicker? Well, maybe.
I like the amount of butter he poured in there.
That's what I heard about it, was the butter.
Like, yeah, he just poured the whole thing in there.
Three sticks of butter. Oh, poor guy.
That's how you would feel after eating it.
If I tune in next week, I want this guy to be on there.
I'm going to be cooking for Gordon Ramsay in Los Angeles.
Yeehaw! Drove here in my tractor. You can see it breaks down right in front of the
studio. What I made for you is roadkill surprise.
Like, what I like to think of when I watch these, like, train wrecky type shows is, like, people, like, what they were thinking when they shot it. So I can just see, like, a guy, like, with the cameraman. Okay, we need a hit. Okay, that guy looks like a hick. Let's go get him. See what he'll say.
Yeah,
let's get
exactly.
What he'll say.
It's like, who'll be gold? I made myself some Hills Have Eyes casserole. Yeah. Yikes.
Plenty of toxic waste in there.
So what do you guys say? We take a break and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
After these messages. All right, Adam, we'll be right back. It's time for a bathroom break.
All right.
All right, everybody. Be right back.
Don't play me like a fiddle.
While Atari keeps trying to sell you new systems, like the 5200, with ColecoVision you only need one system, because ColecoVision expands to give you a Super Action controller set with Super Action Baseball, a driving module with Turbo, and only ColecoVision plugs into the Atom module to become the complete Atom computer system. Plus, you get $150 in vacation savings certificates. $150, good for any vacation package, if you buy ColecoVision now. Sorry, Atari.
Presenting McDonald's Star Trek meal. Parents, take a good look. It's the only meal approved for your kids by the United Federation of Planets. Outside, the Enterprise, action, intrigue. Five exciting boxes based on Star Trek, the motion picture. Inside, a regular hamburger, fries, soft drinks, a McDonald's cookie sampler, and a Star Trek prize. Star Trek meal, games, jokes, puzzles. Your kids will love them. McDonald's Star Trek meal.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.
Adventure is on the horizon. Stanley's going buggy. Mario Brothers have their hands full. And Donkey Kong's going ape. It's rough seas for Popeye. And Snoopy's gotta get on the ball. But you can help. You got Nintendo Game & Watch. That's pocket power. Widescreen or multi-screen games you can play indoors or out. They tell you the score and even the time. They're pocket power. They're Game & Watch. 14 and all. Only from...
Nintendo!
Since 1975, lettuce is up 61%.
Hey, that's a lot of cabbage.
Mushrooms, 46%. Grapes, 82%.
Improvement.
In today's economy, you need Ziploc storage bags. With their unique seal, Ziploc bags are a zip to lot, and they stay locked, so foods stay fresher longer.
What's up, Doc?
Carrots, 138%.
Oh, no.
Ziploc storage bags. There's no better way to protect your investment.
People are talking about the great taste of Vlasic pickles like never before.
Here, my dear. Try a Vlasic pickle.
Why, thank you, dear. Now, that's the best tasting pickle I ever heard.
Hey, Jimmy, want to trade?
Sure. Want a Vlasic pickle?
Okay.
Now, that's the best tasting pickle I ever heard.
Vlasic pickles. Try them and you might say...
Drumming hands and M&M's.
Chocolate candies.
Drumming hands and M&M's.
All hands love M&M's. Custom built chocolate melts in your mouth. Not in your hand.
There's a rich milk chocolate center covered with a colorful candy shell. Slapping hands and M&M's.
Clapping hands and M&M's. All hands love M&M's. Custom built chocolate melts in your mouth. Not in your hand.
M&M's chocolate candies. The name of the game is Connect Four.
Gotcha! Four cross. One more game.
Object, connect four of your checkers in a row while preventing your opponent from doing the same. But look out, your opponent can sneak up on you and win the game.
I won.
Where? I can't.
Here, diagonally.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Connect Four, the vertical checkers game from Milton Bradley.
Get runners-up for this summer's hottest 10. Then, a hot admirer gives Joe all she can handle. Facts of Life. And Maury's parents visit on Love, Sydney. Then, Quincy fights for a retarded baby's right to life. Following Real People, Facts of Life and Love, Sydney Wednesday.
I'm the big cheese around here. Look at these badges. I got this one for making a necklace out of garlic. Of course, after that, I was alone for weeks. Out here, I bring along the big cheese. Cheeto snacks. They're made with real cheese. Delicious.
Mr. Fenton, can we climb the mountain now?
How about some Cheetos?
Oh, boy! Cheetos!
I got this one for thinking fast.
Cheetos brand cheese-flavored snacks. The big cheese.
Okay, ready!
Attach Fun Fountain to a garden hose, and this summer you can be ready for some cool, splashing, surprising water fun. The Fun Fountain hat whirls high on a cool stream of water. With Cool Splashing Fun Fountain, you and your friends can splash and dash and have cool water fun with Fun Fountain. It's surprising. Fun Fountain from Wham-O.
My slice and bake chocolate chip cookies and kids.
Oh, that poppin' fresh dough.
Cookie.
Baking up hot.
Pillsbury slice and baked chocolate chip cookies.
Poppin' fresh dough.
Introducing the Shakey's Pizza Keeper. It helps keep our pizza hot and fresh, even if it takes you a little while to get home.
Where we do the robot, Laura.
You're gonna have me so fast.
So
we just watched that this week.
Just go back to your podium until it's time to play the feud, all right?
Hey. Oh, shit. All right, we're back. Sorry, I was a little thrown off. Did anybody watch Top Chef this week?
Top Chef. Yes.
You did, Steven? Mm-hmm. That's good. Adam?
No.
No.
That's okay. Sorry,
he pulled a Steven. He sounded like Steven there for a second.
Yeah.
No.
I guess because I'm defeated and Steven usually sounds.
But that's okay because I'm going to paint a picture for you guys. You know, Top Chef is a show where chefs compete to become top chef. And this week, I don't know. I'm going to say that it's looking bad for that guy, Alex, who basically he out of nowhere had a pea puree.
Yeah.
And this other guy named Ed.
Ed.
This one guy, Ed, he goes, "Where's my pea puree? I made one yesterday. I can't find it anywhere as they're preparing." And the other guy's, he's whipping up his pea puree. And he's like, "Hey, have you seen my pea puree?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about." And everyone else is like, "He started on that today. There's no way you could whip that up that fast," or whatever. So everyone was suspicious of this guy, Alex, who suddenly had a pea puree, and the guy, Ed, who made one yesterday and couldn't find it. So it was very suspicious. And I was like, hopefully that won't matter at all.
And he said he didn't know even know that Ed was making one, and then they show the little flashback.
Where they were like, "What? Oh, he's making a pea puree." He's like, "Oh, interesting." And it's like, yeah, we have it on video. So it was very interesting. So you almost think, well, it's no big deal if the guy doesn't win anything because of that, you know, his cheating. But
it's cheating.
Wow. Let's go ahead and check out this. And you're going to hear the word pea puree, the words pea puree a lot.
Those words should not be put together.
I can almost not say it. Pea puree. Let's go ahead and check this out.
For your elimination challenge, you'll be taking part in an old school political tradition, the power lunch. The power lunch is where deals are made, bills are brokered, and a good meal can make negotiations run very smoothly. You'll be taking over one of the prime restaurants in the lunch scene, the historic Palm DC.
I still haven't figured out what I'm doing. That's my problem.
You haven't figured out what you're doing?
You don't know what you're making?
I have like too many ideas. I have one of those stupid
This is the guy, Alex.
Well, you gotta figure out what you're gonna do first.
What are you
going to
do?
I don't know. I was wrong with what you said. You got to commit.
I know. I need to get the flavor set with this salmon. I just really have to make it happen. I have these English peas, but they're
the same ones that Ed got?
I don't know what Ed got.
He said he got peas.
I mean, what would you puree? It looked good.
I can't decide what to do. Hope it don't bite me in the ass.
Oh, I thought I saw you having peas on.
That was me, but that was for my pea puree.
Is it cold?
No, it's warm.
Ed loves his pea puree.
I figured out what I'm going to make. I'm going to make a pea puree. First thing, if it works, I use it. If not, I toss it. It's a little risky because my whole game plan was based around pea puree.
Good game plan.
Dude, where's my pea puree? Where is my pea puree?
Pea puree.
Right there. John, puree. Do you happen to see that pea puree that I put in the cooler?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen anything. I'm sorry.
Where the hell is pea puree? Did somebody take it?
Steve, did you take my pea puree?
No, I didn't take it, dude.
We had three. No, I did not. I did not touch your pea puree. My fish was on Top Chef. Alex, did you see that pea puree?
I did not.
Nobody saw it.
I did not use any pea puree.
The only person that has a pea puree on their dish is Alex.
Pea puree.
It was not made the day before.
Oh.
Conceptualizes the dish until
going up
the
and down
day
off.
It would really piss me off if Alex stole my pea puree.
Eddie, I looked. I couldn't find it.
That's really up. Alex.
You want broccolini?
I'm like, Ed, calm down. You have to just do something else. Dude, I have broccolini left, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just trying to get him to focus back on what he needs to do.
I'm aggravated and pissed off, but I don't have time to be looking for this thing. So I'm going to have to come up with a substitute.
I want to know who took my English pea puree.
What y'all sweet-sweeting about back here?
None of your business.
I love everybody else is whispering about the pea puree.
No.
I just want to know who
Everyone's kind of talking about it. Alex had a pea puree, and supposedly someone saw it in the blender. If Alex stole Ed's pea puree, it's kind of grimy.
What about the pea puree?
We should have counted how many times he said it.
A lot.
Chicken?
Some people think I took Ed's pea puree, but you know what? It's really coincidental that Ed couldn't find his puree. I didn't even know he was making a pea puree.
I don't know what Ed got.
He said he got peas.
And what were your puree? It looked good.
Can we please see Alex, Tiffany, and Ed? Thank you. The three of you had the best dishes in today's power lunch. Alex.
I mean, I'm very surprised to be here. When I heard salmon is such a diverse fish that I just couldn't figure out what I wanted to do with it.
You know, Alex, what I enjoyed about your dish was that beautiful piece of fish cooked perfectly.
And that wonderful pea puree that you put on that plate, that you swirled it across. That, I mean, oh, I could have just eaten all of that. That was absolutely delicious.
Seething.
It was simple, but yet it had great flavor. Thank you, chef.
Art, you have the honor of announcing the winner.
I enjoyed all three dishes, but you know, there always is the person that did the best job. I'd have to say the dish that I really, truly loved and enjoyed was Alex.
Oh, just wrong.
Congratulations, that guy answered. You get your dish on the menu of Palm DC as well as your portrait on one of their walls.
Love it. Thank you.
And the winner is Alex.
Thank you.
They enjoyed the parade.
They were just so impressed with how silky and delicious this English pea puree was. I'm like, this is cool. To be able to complete this English pea puree properly, there's no way he had that amount of time.
Wow. And when it ended, did you think that he did steal it?
Oh, yeah.
I think he did, too. And they even have those, like, text now. Did you think that Alex stole Ed's pea puree? And it was like 90% said yes. And it's just, yes, I think he did. And
well,
he won.
They're saying that it didn't take, he didn't have enough time to do it properly.
Yeah, and he won the whole thing.
Yeah, that's
just... And the guest judge is like, I just loved your pea puree. And the guy's like, ah! You're like, are you kidding me?
That could have been the thing that pushed me over the top. You know? Like,
yeah, that's pretty slimy.
Yeah, he not only that, the recipe or the dish gets put in the menu, and he gets his face on the wall at the restaurant because they had.
But
you
can't truly take credit for it. I don't know why people do that. Like, I don't know. I couldn't do that. Like,
wow, personally. I know. And it's, how many times did they say pea puree in that?
23, I think. I was kind of.
Were you counting?
Yeah, wow. I lost count because there was like. 20. I think you guys said it a few times. So I was like, oh,
you're counting us too.
Yeah.
Was that them or was that on the TV?
I need a shirt that says that.
Yes, you do.
Now, you know, another show we love is Work of Art on the same channel, on Bravo, with the artists and all that. And usually I don't like that guy Miles at all. You know,
he was a little conniving this episode, wasn't he?
Yeah, because they had these themes, like somebody had to do heaven and hell. They had to do male, female. And what was the other one?
Chaos and order.
And there's this girl, Jacqueline, who gets naked every week on the show. She's always like, well, I know what I'll do. I'll take all my clothes off and take a picture of myself. And he has this idea.
Yeah, goes, she's always in the bathroom taking nude photos.
Yeah. And Miles has her as a partner. He's like, how can I get her to take her clothes off this week?
How can I get her naked?
It doesn't sound like it's very hard.
And I love him talking to her and trying to explain how this will fit with the theme to get her naked. And it's hilarious. Let's check this out.
I was really just considering how I could get Jackie to add nudity to her painting. And I think I figured it out. You have a great sense of your body. Why not do something that's body-based? Because I'm going outward.
Right.
So if you went in, inward on something.
I'm confused, though, on how I would gain control. That's the hard thing.
Well, I think all those things that you do are levels of gaining control. That's just underhandedly genius. I think you naked with something in front of your face and then having that play of it being stretched out in front of the mirror is lovely.
I think so.
Win-win. I figured that she should probably do something about masturbating because it's like a way that a female can attempt to gain control. Even with the masturbation thing, it's like we need to ride that thing between tame and then
ride that
thing. And then like over the top. Oh my God, I get what you're doing. I love that.
I think it's nice. So.
Yeah, very subtle. Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Well, not like that.
I just overheard them talking about taking photos of Jackie masturbating.
Hey.
I'll make sure.
Thanks for your help, Miles.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Have fun.
Bye.
She's falling back on her old cliches of using herself as this idealized female form.
I'm pretty open. But in some ways, I am a very private person. And right now, I don't want people looking at my work.
I don't think so.
Why are you stressed out about people seeing you naked in the studio as you're working on it? When you're going to be displaying it in the gallery?
She put a veil around everything so nobody could see what she was working on because it was so private. But that one guy there who had his stomach explode when he was young.
Yeah.
And then he had it sewed
back
together.
He wasn't all that young. He was a teen. He was like 18 or 19.
Well, you know what I thought was weird
like,
about
that's
that?
That's not young.
Was it Mentos and Diet Coke? Was that?
I was going to say Pop Rocks. You stole it.
Pop Rocks. I'm sorry.
It was like diverticulitis, and he wasn't treating it. Yeah. One day his stomach exploded or something, but
wasn't all that bad of a scar. It was just like, okay, it's a scar right down the middle of your belly.
The girl Peregrine, who hell. She's like, let's do something involved with your scar, and it'll be hell. And he's like, why?
Well, he wasn't smart enough to get Peregrine naked. He was trying.
He was like, what if we did something? Maybe
would you be willing to be naked from the front or the back? It doesn't matter.
She's like, well, let's talk about. She goes, what about you and your scar? And he's like, what about my scar? And it's like, sorry, dude, not getting her naked, and. When did you think it was weird? Like when he got voted off, China Chow was crying. Did you notice that? She was like, pack your books and shit and leave. Whatever they say.
Pack your brushes and leave.
Whatever
your
it
Crayola
is.
Crayola crowns and just get out of here.
You know, we didn't even talk about a couple of weeks ago when that other dude, I wish I could remember their names. The guy who had the tattoos and the beard.
Eric.
When he left and...
And then the other kind of scruffy-haired kid last week.
But when Eric left, the guy Miles called him out. He goes, you're just insecure or whatever. And I was like, ouch. Because that really is how he came off. Because he was so threatened by them.
But aren't most artists anyway.
Yeah, but
that's what they...
They did that stupid thing at the park where they sit and they look at the sky or whatever.
Yeah.
And he went off on them or whatever. It was just so obvious like how insecure he was because he couldn't come up with anything. And I just thought that was
He had pitched some ideas to them and they kept shooting his ideas down. And then I didn't understand why he had got kicked off because none of the ideas were his.
It's mainly because he quit on them, supposedly.
He just had a really bad attitude.
Yeah.
Well, still, I mean... None of those ideas were his. He did pitch them.
Well, it's because everyone else said he quit on them, I think.
But
they were arguing during the elimination process, too.
Right. And I loved when he said, congratulations, Miles, you built another homeless shelter. He goes, it's not a homeless shelter. But that is pretty much everything he does. Whatever. That guy Miles gets on my nerves.
He's pretty pretentious.
Yeah, he's a douche. Oh, I love when that other guy goes, I've pretty much figured out that Miles is a douche. I'm sitting there, he's making rubber band balls, you know. It's like, you're just now figuring that out? Now, a new show returned this week. Did you get to see The Colony? We watched it last season. I thought it was a really cool show on Discovery Channel.
They went real hardcore this first episode.
They did. It was like violent on them and...
Well, they attacked them the first day multiple times.
Yeah, and they're out in the open. They seem more
And obviously
vulnerable.
These guys did not watch the show last season.
Because they're like, I'm going to bed. It's like, dude, don't go to bed. Shouldn't you like...
You need to...
It's just the post-apocalypse. I'm turning in early.
Make a fortress here.
Yeah.
They don't even get money on that show.
They don't get anything. They have to make everything for themselves. And I love the one guy they said was being lazy. He's like, I'm going to go take a nap. It's like, it's a post-apocalypse. There's no naps, all right?
He just knows it's just a TV show. I don't care. I need to nap.
So, you know, they're doing different things. They build the water filter.
I walked over to those other buildings.
He's tired.
You know, they quickly made the water filter and had water, and they explored around and got some milk and stuff like that. But then this moment happened where some marauders.
Wouldn't you hide your food? Put it on a shelf?
Yeah, they had it all neatly.
Where's your food? I don't know where it's at. You know,
I love this part here where the one guy goes, I'm going to do my best. We're not going to let them know where our stuff is and what building. Right? And then the girl's like, that's our stuff in there. And it's just like, you know, because these marauders show up and they do the same thing they did last season where it's like, should we help them? No, we shouldn't. Ooh, let's give them something. And that's what happens here until things escalate.
Along with water, shelter, fire, and food, the fifth survival basic, security,
is
about to be threatened. As part of the experiment, three strangers arrive on the compound.
Hey, guys. We got some ratty-looking people coming in from the other side here, so
that's not very nice.
Everybody outside!
Yo! They smell like shit.
What's up?
Hey!
Hey!
They smell like they've been bathing in the LA River.
Oh my God, they're here!
We've got intruders!
They sound excited about it.
They could have completely snuck up on us. They could have stolen all of our food and water before we even knew what had happened. Who knows, they could even carry this nuclear flu.
Get the mask!
Hardcore, dude.
In any situation where
this
you're
at risk of shit.
With deadly virus,
hey, can I have some food?
Your
like, dude, your sneeze just closed.
A period of quarantine is necessary to ensure the safety of those not exposed.
My nose hairs fell out.
Food and water.
How much food and water do you want?
Much as we can get.
Not going to get as much as you want.
I want 16 gallons of water.
Why don't you guys get in the tent, and then we'll get everyone over here, and we'll figure it out. Is it just the three of you guys?
Yes. We just need the food and water, and then we'll
get
on our way.
You know what? We don't have food. Food's off the table.
Hold on.
We have no food.
Just hold on a second. Give me a moment.
Why can't we give them two milks?
I don't think that we should be selfish.
Just give them two milks.
If we are cruel in the way that we hoard our food...
Where is this
guy? Maybe that cruelty will come back.
In a deprivation tank or something?
Are they?
Yes.
Who knows?
If they're just walking through and trying to get everything
done. Give them a little bit of milk.
I say give them two milks.
Get them a little bit and get them out of here.
Okay, cool.
Give them a saucer of milk.
You guys stay here. I'm going with
a little kitty.
There's no reason to be hostile. Let's give them a whole milk.
Yep.
A whole milk because that's got more protein in it.
What one can of Spam.
These guys can go back to their house tonight, so give them a milk.
Run into too,
two hot pockets
say,
is all you get.
Two hot pockets.
I look at it like this. We take our chances. There's only one person we really have to answer to in the end. We talked it over as a group. This is what we got. This water is boiled and filtered.
And we
got some whole milk.
Thank you.
I wish there was
genuine
more that we can
water.
Do. I wish we had.
You guys look like you're well set and have plenty of stuff.
No, we're barely getting by.
Just some
right,
hot dogs.
So, you guys go back to your man, and whatever you do, I'll come back at night.
Yeah, we will assume the worst if we see you at night.
That's understandable.
Back out.
Let's just follow them.
These guys look real nervous.
I'm not nervous. I'm just watching you, pal.
I got a bad vibe from that guy. He asked a lot of questions, and he didn't give us much information in return.
They're definitely protecting something in there.
Looking for anything in particular, homeboy?
Anything we can get our hands on.
You said you wanted food and water.
That guy's
you
from Reno calling people homeboy.
You're making me nervous. What's in there? Don't worry about it.
These three people wanted to get into our house. And I didn't want to call it our house because they would know that
this
that's where
like
our things are.
This guy's like in gas form floating
but
around.
I definitely knew that it was a building that I wanted to protect.
You can't go in there.
We're just looking.
Yeah, you're not looking in there. Keep walking.
Hey, what's in that boarded up house over there?
We don't have food.
So why can't we go in?
That's our food. I mean,
that's all our stuff.
Sandwiches, okay?
We don't have food for ourselves. Why do you
think we should
excuse you?
Shut up, little girl. Don't talk to her like that, brother.
Shut up, little girl.
You're not getting in.
For real?
You're not getting...
There's the show.
When a person has been immersed into a situation that's radically different than what they're used to, there are a number of changes that take place. people become aggressive, people become more chaotic in their thinking. In the case of the colony, they've lost that sense of internal direction.
I love when that dude runs up and just tackles the guy.
I know, and that was the guy that gave him the food.
That was his idea.
I changed my mind!
I trusted you, man. I gave you hope. I gave you water.
We understand, but you can't survive by taking other people's stuff. We work for our stuff. You guys need to work for your stuff.
He just wanted some cereal to go with the
stuff.
That's not unreasonable.
Passing through privileges. You understand that?
You know what? What's crazy is later on when they show up again in a big mob, I couldn't believe they pepper sprayed him in the eyes. Could you believe that?
I know.
Because last time...
This is what's like hard for me to... I like this show. I like the concept. But it's hard for me to completely get into it because it's like if this was real... You would deal with it in a different way.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
If someone said, why can't we look in there? I'd be like, because it's my house. Leave or I'll hurt you. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right.
that's where it gets down to the brass tacks. But, like, in
right.
this show, it's like, where's the limit? What can you do?
I know. Like, when they're tackling him and stuff, it looks painful. And he gets
sprayed. I would have fallen if that one guy that was on the show, that's on the show, you know, I'd have been... Fake like I got knocked out.
Yeah.
You know, been like,
he took a violent hit.
I know,
on
that's
the ground,
what I'm saying.
Too.
He took a pretty good hit, and he could have pretended like he got hurt. And been
but
like,
I mean, if
what do they do, you know?
If somebody pepper sprayed you, that's assault in the real world. Couldn't you punch them back, you know, even if they're actors?
Oh, yeah.
And I know that this is like the first episode, but later on, when they're really like into that mindset, because, well, even before they even put them out in the world, they deprive them of. They sleep in tents. They're closed off from the world.
For 72 hours.
And so when they're released into this world, it's kind of like, whoa. And then like a couple of weeks into it, they're really like believe they're in danger and stuff. Like last season, you could feel like they really thought it was reality, you know.
Well, at least they gave them that first. They gave them, you know, I don't know how long they took to actually kind of defend themselves against, you know, make a shelter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this house is all completely open. The windows are, you know.
Yeah, they're just
they haven't done anything
vulnerable.
To. It's like, okay, first thing is to make sure you're secure.
Yeah, and they don't think to do that. And I love
they botched it.
Those guys find that truck and it's got the dead pigs in it.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, hey, we can make some chum. And he's like, goes in there and he's like, whoa. He's like, oh, I shouldn't have breathed this. He's like throwing up. I was like, dude, gross. It's like, dude, you're not going to do anything with those pigs, okay?
Well, that's what I think that, like, you know, I wish there was a way where they could do it where it was different, like, maybe like a, like you said, like, earn money for it or something like that at the end. So if you did all these particular, I don't know.
Oh, you mean like it was a game show or something?
Well, almost like that, but like if, I don't know, it's like, because what, I know it's kind of just like a social experiment almost,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, you know, without... Like give them paintballs or something and make zombies come at them. And if they shoot the zombies in the head.
Yeah, we talked about that last season. Like they should have paint guns and they should have zombies.
Well, there should, you know, kind of like
awesome.
Kind of like any kind of video game. They're hidden around,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it, as you get points for finding, say, the car batteries. And then you put them together to build a power station, okay, you get more points.
Right, and that's what I love
that's what
about
I was saying something like that would work well and would make it more like seem like it has more of a point because the real point in this situation is to survive and
right.
get to somewhere where you can still maintain some sort of life, a quality of life. You know
and
what I mean? But
what was
this,
so
just
cool
like,
about
well, just
season.
Doing it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like there's almost not really a threat there.
Right.
Yeah.
But they'll start to want electricity and stuff like that. And the people last season, they were very productive up until the part where they were starving. And then like their production just dropped off and they
when
were
they
just
lost
so hungry.
All their protein.
Yeah, and then they started killing rats and cooking them and stuff. And,
ew.
That was awesome. But what's great in this
I wonder what Chef
is, there, is that they're close to the river where they can catch fish. So that's really good.
Yeah, but have they caught
a
fish?
The first time he threw the net in, he's like, well, he didn't catch anything. So
he just threw it in and pulled it back out.
Yeah.
Like,
well, didn't you guys think it's crazy when later on this like, guy showed up?
I'm going to be cooking for Gordon Ramsay in Los Angeles.
It's like, who's this hillbilly here? Kill him! And it looks like when they go, this season on the colony, these guys were like tying somebody up, like the marauders were like kidnapping him or something.
They kidnapped one of the women, it looks like.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love when they took all their stuff and they all went, woo! You know, they're like hollering and stuff. That was great. All right, Adam, you went far away again.
He's fading away.
I faded.
Did you just go? You ran to the kitchen real quick.
I needed a Snickers bar.
I was just talking about Snickers.
Delicious Snickers. See, usually on the show, Laura, I starve until the show's over. You know, I eat like at 3 today, and by the time the show's over, I'm like,
I'm constantly eating.
Now, we're almost done with the TiVo. First, we have Entourage, Steven. We'll just kind of quickly gloss over this. First of all, no TV show should ever have Scott Kahn on it. Am I right? And especially give him more screen time.
Yeah.
And we've got Turtle, who
also doesn't need much airtime.
And what about a couple of weeks ago, it was all about Vince getting a haircut. And
now that's over with. Yeah. It's all forgotten.
Yeah, that's all forgotten. And, we have Ari, who,
wants a football team.
He's going to start a football team, except that one girl who, helped
Babs
establish everything. She's the one who cheated, with Gary Cole and his marriage ended or whatever. But Ari doesn't want to promote her or anything because his wife hates her because it split up his friend's marriage. So he lets her go or lets her quit out of anger. And there's this great moment here where he goes to talk to her, and she just pretty much tells him what she thinks of him.
Casey Wasserman, Jeff Katzenberg, Mike Melman, and John Ellis have all confirmed for your NFL pitch, which brings the count to 20.
Billionaire Boys Club Day, I love it. You make sure that you get all their favorite food and drinks ready?
I got lobster salad from Staples for Ellis, pastrami from Nate and Alice for Casey, and Tana's Veal Parm for Meldman. But I couldn't find out what Katzenberg likes to eat.
He lives off Diet Coke. You see how lean he is? I need a Kung Fu Panda Bear somewhere where he can see it.
Okay, I've got the Diet Coke.
I need more of it in those glass retro bottles. I need at least a $20 million commitment from each one of those guys. Everything high class and highly enticing.
Ari, you don't have to be nervous. You're going to do great.
What are you, my life coach?
No, I just...
Well, listen, don't try to get intimate with me, Jake. It makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
What is she still doing here? Did she unquit?
I believe she's just packing up. Should I call security?
No, I'll speak to her.
Is that wise?
Send them off with sweetness, Jake. Hopefully you won't have to taste my sugar anytime soon.
Yeah, let's hope.
Lizzie, can I talk to you for a second?
You told him about
what, Ari?
Football. Well, I was hoping that
he promoted him real fast.
You can go f*** yourself, Ari.
Oh.
Now, is that nice? I'm preparing a nice severance package for you. You don't want me angry when I'm writing you a check, do you?
No, I don't. What I want you to do is shove that severance package up your f***ing ass.
If you were my daughter...
If I was your daughter, I would blow my f***ing brains out. Look, Ari, you might think I'm some sort of cute little pushover, but you screwed me. And I'm going to do everything I can to pay you back.
Is it that time of the month for you, Lizzie? Because I think that your hormones are making your brain forget who you are threatening.
You don't scare me, Ari. Not even a little bit.
Did you hear that?
I heard the polite version this morning.
Well, I hope you said what I said.
I said it politely.
Now, Steven, what do you think of the whole drama and John Stamos stuff with the ping pong?
Stupid.
How long? This show should have ended. Why are we watching it? It's just every week. Wow.
My friend Eric that is the newer listener I keep talking about, he gets so mad at you guys when you talk about Entourage. It's like his favorite show. And he's like so excited and has been watching this like new season. He's like, but they don't get it. Like, blah, blah, blah. And like, he says all this stuff.
Like Entourage a lot. I just feel like they're just going through the motions, man. It's the biggest ruse on television. That guy, Doug Ellen, who does the show, man, he's laughing his way all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
The show's only 20 minutes long every week. It's like the shortest show ever.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, we'll continue to watch it. We have no more heroes to watch, right?
We need something to fill the void.
Now, Laura, you've never watched True Blood, have you?
No, I never have.
I think you'd like the show. I think it's been really good this season.
Yeah, last season was a bad one, but other than that was...
The halfway point, it started getting where it's like dragging stuff out. But this season, I think, has been really good, making up for a lot of stuff. Even like the weird storyline with Tara and Franklin the vampire... Is that stuff driving you nuts?
But yeah, I don't even care.
The part where he
passed by,
where he was texting on the phone, I thought was hilarious. How he's like, she's like pretending to like him, and then she's like, "Where have you been?" He goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! don't get possessive on me. You know, it's like, it's so funny how, the way that works. And the stuff with Jason Stackhouse where he wants to be a cop or whatever is, it's just, I don't know what that's all about, you know? But one thing is, was that last week he shows up just out of the blue at the police station. And he's like, I'm here, Andy. I'm here to be a cop now. And the one deputy guy, he says this, and it cracked me up.
I guess this means you find my performance inadequate.
Do you remember that guy? This weird looking guy. He's like, I guess I'm out of a job. I love his voice, though. That was great. And all this crazy stuff's going on with the king of Mississippi. He's turning out to be some kind of like bad guy for a long time. Back when Eric, who's a vampire, when he was a Viking.
Is Eric the Viking?
Yeah.
The Eric the Viking?
This vampire showed up with some werewolves and killed his parents. And he's a vampire now. He's been alive for a long, long time, but he remembers that. And he swore revenge back when he was a human. And he finds the crown that was his father's, because his father was the king, in the King of Mississippi's collection of rare antiquities and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. And they've captured Sookie here, and she does that glowy thing again with the white light where she repels a werewolf.
Yeah,
and she doesn't know how she's doing it. So he wants to know what she is, and he has this conversation with her. And I like how he borderlines on kind of funny to he gets scary suddenly. You know, you realize how scary he is. He almost reminds me of Palpatine, like in Star Wars. You know, his laugh, like, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. I can't take it. I put that on for my son the other day, and I just finally came to the point where I can admit to myself those movies are terrible.
Right. Welcome to the club, Adam.
It's good that you can admit that and go on.
It does feel good, Laura. I'm not going to lie.
Symbiance.
Huh? What is he talking about?
What are midichlorians?
No! Stop! We don't want to know what midichlorians are.
Palova numatapa.
All right.
Yippee.
Yippee.
Good times.
Are you an angel?
All right, let's play the True Blood clip.
Now, it's time for you to answer my questions, Miss Stackhouse.
Fine. I have some questions for you, too.
Oh, honey, there's a fine line between feisty and delusional. You're not really in any position to bargain.
You don't know that?
Ooh, now it's getting interesting.
So I'll answer one of your questions, and you'll answer one of mine?
Who goes first?
Are you the king of all vampires?
Heavens, no, my dear girl. I am merely the king of Mississippi.
Do you have a crown?
I have several. That's two questions. My turn. What are you? You're definitely not human.
My parents were human.
How do you know? And how do you know they were your parents, for that matter?
My grandfather was like me.
Which is?
I can hear people's thoughts. And shifters. Werewolves. Not vampires.
How dreadful that must be.
Oh, you have no idea.
I mean, who cares what anyone else is thinking?
My turn. Is Lorena going to kill Bill?
If she knows what's good for her, but she'll take her time. He's been her drug of choice for centuries now. She's going to have a hard time letting go.
Please. You can't stop her.
Why would you want me to? Are you aware that your noble Mr. Compton has been keeping a secret file on you? On your family?
What the?
My turn. What are you besides a telepath? And what on earth makes that light come out of your hands? Oh, don't make me force it out of you.
I don't know.
I never even knew I could do it until recently, and I don't know what I am. Maybe I'm an alien. All I know is it's something big, so if I were you, I wouldn't hurt me or anyone I care about.
Are there other powers?
It's my turn.
Caleb, speak now!
Are there other powers?
Once I throw a chain at somebody, and it wrapped around his neck by itself, like that face crab thing from Alien.
Cool.
Face crab.
That's all.
Well, no wonder the queen is so fascinated by you.
There's the queen?
Oh, sweetheart. You really don't know anything at all, do you?
No! Oh! Yes!
I love True Blood. It's been great this season. What do you think, Steven?
Yeah, it's been really good, yeah.
I like it.
I like this season.
Is this season three?
Four. Yes.
This is four.
No, it's season three.
Is it three?
Three.
Okay, two was the bad season then.
I was thinking... No, wait. Half the season.
Half the season.
First half, great. Second half.
Yeah, when
my
they
wife
brought in
is
the...
really into vampires, so I need to check this
It's a very naughty show. Lots of nudity. Lots
That's
of
sign me up,
show.
Jason.
Lots of sex.
Oh yeah.
All sorts of stuff like that. And I'm gonna say this. It doesn't bother me so much, but Lafayette, the gay character, had a date mm-hmm. this week, and there's a scene where he's talking very intimately with Jesus, his date, and they keep inching closer and closer. I'm like, it's kind of scooting
bracing
back
yourself
further. Yeah. And I was like, come on, somebody's gonna call on the phone and interrupt this. Or it was just pretty funny. Damn HBO, why can't this be on Fox or something?
I guess this means you find my performance inadequate.
That is hilarious.
Oh, you know, there's this great show on ABC Family I wanted to talk about called Huge. And it's about these kids at fat camp. And it's a great show. I've watched like the first five episodes. I'm in love with the show.
Nice. I'm going to check it out.
It's fantastic.
I mean, I haven't seen the show, but I mean, I've seen the advertisement.
It reminds me of like old school, like Degrassi Junior High or something. The kids are older than that, but just the kind of atmosphere about the show and everything's about, you know, somebody having a crush on that person and everything. I really think it's cool. It's all about insecurity we feel, you know. And it's a really good show. And I wanted to talk to you guys about Haven. Have you guys been watching that on Sci-Fi?
Yeah, I've been watching it.
Yes.
So what do you think about it so far?
I like it.
It's fun
it's
to watch.
It's growing on
yeah.
me.
I like it. It's got a lot of... I think it's got character. I think that it's been a little uneven.
That's
you know
why
what
I was
mean?
Like trying to...
But I admire it for what they're trying to accomplish. I know they don't have much of a budget. Like I said, the kind of iffy CGI. But I forgive them for that. But... I do like the characters. I like the cop guy and I like the girl. And I think I'm waiting for it to get into a groove. But I do think it's been a little shaky, but it's entertaining enough, you know, where I'm catching it every week. Like it's on right now and after the shows on Fridays, I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch Haven. Well, actually, we haven't done a show since it started. But anyway, I'm going to do that starting now tonight. But what about you, Adam? Have you checked it out?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. So I'll have to look into that one as well.
Oh, Adam.
I'm not
on.
A big, you know, I'm not a big week-to-week TV viewer.
Right.
You
I
know, I'm just like I stopped watching Lost because I originally started I blew through the first two seasons once they were already on DVD. And then I did not like the feeling of being like, oh, man, that was a throwaway episode. And I waited all week to catch the next one. So I right. usually wait until... I can get my hands on all of them or most of them. You know what I mean? So.
Oh my God. Have you watched the last season yet? Or are you waiting for DVD?
Yeah, I think I thought it was streaming on Netflix, but it wasn't. So I was like, yeah, finally going to finish it off. And then my wife was like, she was like, did you even check? I'm like, oh, babe, don't worry. It's on there.
It's
and then
there.
I finished the last episode of five, and I'm like, all right, let's go. Start season six off. And it was like not available.
Oh, my God. It might be on Hulu. I don't know.
I felt more like the guy from American Idol when he was crying. than that last drop. But yeah, no, it's they only have the last 5 episodes on Hulu. So believe me, buddy, I have exhausted all options.
So you've checked Hulu too.
You're gonna have to buy the box set.
Yeah, either that or just BitTorrent it. I mean, I don't know, something. We'll
see. Where are you talking about this guy in American Idol?
That's frightening.
That guy was...
No, actually, I was talking about the... But maybe it's not from American
that
Idol.
That sounds like he's being tortured.
What's that from?
The one you've just done.
Steven, you know what that's from. Whatever. It's from 24.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack, oh, that's right, yes.
Jack perfect. Bauer was telling the guy that he was going to kill his mother.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait. He was going to blow himself up. And he goes, guess what? If you die, I'm going to have your mom come in here and clean up your guts.
Yeah, I remember. Like,
wow, that's harsh.
Yeah, Jack Bauer's an a-hole. But hey guys, what do you say we do some news? You ready to do it, Adam?
Let's do it.
I think that Bill will be happy of the job you're going to do. Don't you think, Steven?
Well, let's hear it first.
Don't put any pressure on the guy or anything.
Well, let's see what Bill thinks.
Don't ever come up to my pad again and try to take my place. You got it.
Oh my
wow.
God.
Jason, I mean, you really put me on the spot.
All right, let's do the news! Oh, my gosh. All right, Adam, let's do this thing. What do you got in the news?
All right, here we go. Man hit by 6 meteorites is being targeted by aliens.
Whoa.
Like that Radio face crap from Alien.
First came to international attention in 2008, shortly after the 5th meteorite had crashed into the roof of his house in his northern village of Gornji Lajisi. Sorry, these names are tough to pronounce.
Where is that?
Somewhere in India.
Okay.
Whoa.
And now within the past month, another rock has hit the roof of his house, making it 6 strikes since the plague of meteorites began in 07.
Holy crap.
And experts at Belgrade University have confirmed that all falling rocks were indeed meteorites. The strikes always happen when it's raining heavily, he says, and he never when there are clear skies. His own explanation, of course, is that after the 5th rock hit his house, he says he's obviously being targeted by extraterrestrials. I don't know what I've done to annoy them, but there is no other explanation that makes sense.
It couldn't be somebody over in the next village with a catapult and a...
Just messing with the guy.
I got 30 meteorites.
Some kid with a slingshot or something.
50-year-old Ajit has had a steel grip...
For aliens, sorry.
50-year-old Lajik has had a steel-girded reinforced roof put on his house to protect it from the alien bombardment,
nice.
Which he funded by selling one of the meteorites to a university in the Netherlands.
Nice. He is prepared.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing that myself.
Dude, wait a second. If he's selling the meteorites...
I would have made a concrete bunker.
That's like all he's got to do is like, all right, I need another meteorite to hit.
Yeah, he could quit his job.
Exactly. I don't know what he's complaining about, but he says he has no doubt he's being targeted by aliens. They are playing games with me. I don't know why they're doing this. When it rains, I can't sleep.
Those darn Klandathu bugs.
Wow.
Sending meteorites.
I got a bad vibe from that guy.
All right, moving along. Now, this story is brought to us by JSR in the forum. Thank you for posting this. brilliant. The cake boss shaken down by the man.
Oh, no.
Start saving your Cake Boss t-shirts, mouse pads, and baseball caps. They're about to become collector's items. The TLC show, which has been on the air for over a year now, is recently ordered by a judge to change its title because a cake-making software program called Cake Boss sold by Master Software, has been using the same name since 2007. At a court hearing on July 16th in Seattle, where Master Software is based, the owners testified that they contacted Discovery Channel about the name overlap, but the network declined to change Velastro's show name, claiming that no one would confuse the show and the software. So I guess what's happening is anytime a really good episode comes on, because Master Software owns the domain name, the cakeboss.com, so they're getting a bunch of like, oh, buddy, we love you, cakes. And like, they say that sometimes like it gets bombarded so much that they have to shut the site down. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, I guess litigation is ongoing, but
don't they know to go to TLC.com/cakeboss? Come on.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like some. It's like TLC/cakeboss/buddy or something.
Squirting my cake.
Man, that show is. It's just so awesome. Like
they should send some hieroglyphics to him.
The Sphinxes.
You know what? We didn't cover Cake Boss this week, by the way, is because they used to always have buddy episodes online, and they took them down. This season, there aren't any buddy episodes online. So I'll have Bill get them for me. And Bill's on vacation, so no Cake Boss this week. Sorry, guys. I had no...
no hieroglyphics.
I had no secret underground Cake Boss go to.
Truly disappointing.
That is.
I know. Wow.
You got a lot of nerve.
Sorry.
Go downstairs, Mary. All right. Here, moving along. This one brought to us by the Charlotte Observer. Cheeseburger stuffed in car's gas tank causes $1,000 worth of damage.
Oh shit.
Mechanics found a cheeseburger in the gas tank of a Rock Hill woman's car. Police say the 30-year-old told police she noticed her car was running rugged late last week. According to a Rock Hill police report, the car would stop running, let her start it again, only to cut off a few minutes later.
I would blow my fucking brains out.
Why, you may ask, a mechanic found a cheeseburger and get this, and a pickle inside the car's gas tank.
Nice.
The lunch caused $1,000 worth of damages to the car.
Shut up, little girl.
It is not known how the sandwich got inside the vehicle's gas tank.
Jay did it, yeah.
Moving right along. DiCaprio is pulling out of the Mel Gibson movie. This one's brought to you by DigitalSpy.com. Leonardo DiCaprio has recently decided to pull out of director's Mel Gibson's planned Viking movie. According to a source for Radar Online, the Inception star... Excuse me, I'm going through puberty still. The Inception star is looking to distance himself from Gibson following reports of his investigation for domestic abuse against his child endangerment. Excuse me. When asked if DiCaprio was still planning to work on the Gibson project, a source close to the actor responded, "Not a chance." The insider added, "Leo has earned the right to pick and choose who he works with, and Mel Gibson is not one of them."
Yes! I mean, no.
Wow, back in the day, I'd love to see a Mel Gibson Viking movie, but I gotta admit, man, this stuff has been it's pretty hard to, like, stay, like, where you...
He's lost his mind.
But if he's directing it, really, I mean, does it got anything to do with his personal life? I mean, I'm just saying...
Yes, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with them, honestly.
I think so. I mean, in all facets of life, I've tried to do my best to step away from crazy people. Like as my relationship with people have like furthered, I'm like, okay, this person's getting a little nuts. So it's like,
right.
I don't know if,
well, especially now, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with them. I mean,
but didn't his agent just drop him?
Yeah.
See, that's not a good sign.
He's wacko. He's crazy.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Now this one is pretty funny. I like this story a lot. This guy's called the News Raider. And this is what the title of the story says. Excuse me. So just who is the tubby man in the Woolly Pulley whose gate crashed 100 TV news bulletins this year? I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but there's this guy going around and he just gets in the back. You know, like the classic skits, or there's always the guy, like that idiot that's in the back going, hey, I'm on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, this dude has been in over 100 of them. It's pretty funny.
Nice.
His career.
I'll read a little bit. He's a TV star like no other. He doesn't surround himself with PR minders and ghastly yes men. There are no outrageous salary demands. He doesn't even insist on a makeup artist before his primetime performances. Paul Yarrow, star of BBC One, ITV, Channel 4, Sky News, and even the Qatar-based, looks like Al Jazeera network, has appeared on television more than 100 times this year. The only problem is that the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Sky News, and Al Jazeera don't want him to be there. What they want is for their TV reporters to be left in peace. What they don't want is Yarrow, a balding fat man who often wears a wrinkled white sweater, popping up behind the star correspondents, distracting viewers and the very important news that they are trying to deliver. So,
how does he show up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, how does he know where they're going to be?
Okay, let me get into this a little bit more. For his part, 20-year-old Yarrow from Southwark in South London has a very simple mission. To get himself on television as often as possible without being invited. No wonder the news raider has become an overnight internet sensation. With modesty almost unknown among TV performers, this fighter pilot's son says, you just have to watch the news and use your common sense to know where the cameras will be.
Ah.
He's got a system.
This yeah, guy needs to get a life.
I don't know what the system is. But
yeah.
But yeah, so that's all the news I could drudge up for this week.
Some of us have to work for a living, you know what I mean?
I know.
I do.
Well, thanks, Adam. Thanks for doing the news this week.
No problem.
Good job, buddy. Oh, you sounded the cicadas or cicadas. Or you say cicada, Steven. I say cicada.
I hope I made Bill proud.
You did.
There's a fine line between feisty and delusional.
Oh. Well, guys,
which one are you, Adam?
Which one am I? That's what I'm wondering.
What do you guys say we do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Let's do the DVDs.
All right. Let's do it. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. HD, Blu-ray, set and definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody!
Oh, oh my God! Well, Laura, you got to see the DVD song live!
Wow, that was awesome.
Laura, I cannot express how jealous I am.
I just realized, Steven, is that the first time we've ever had an audience for the song?
Yes.
They were rocking out, let me tell you.
It was awesome.
I'm so jealous.
Where's a webcam when you...
Exactly.
One
All right,
day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
One day.
Someday it's going to happen. Yes. All right. DVDs this week for Tuesday, August 3rd, 2010. We've got Kick-Ass coming out. It's a two-disc copy. They got the DVD and the Blu-ray in there, so
nice.
That should be useless, I guess. You could like
what?
It's a coaster or something.
It's a coaster.
Yeah, Kick-Ass. What'd you?
I haven't seen this film. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, I looked it up on IMDb, and I didn't see. Like, I guess Nicolas Cage is in it, but he wasn't on the roster.
I loved his character in the movie. I like that. But I'm going to say that, again, like, Kick-Ass was good.
It was a fun movie.
Did it kick-ass?
It didn't blow me away or anything. I would watch that in the same evening as Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Nick Cage double feature, yeah.
I would blow my fucking brains
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Hey. That's what I was thinking.
My God. Not a fan of the Nick Cage, I guess.
And by the way, this is not a good week for DVDs or Blu-ray. Like, there's not a lot coming out, so we'll just try to get through this here. I guess, okay, so we got James and the Giant Peach, which I think is a pretty decent release.
How to get burned.
I like that movie.
How to get burned. How to get burned.
I don't know, Nick. I don't.
James and the Giant Peach, that's a good movie, right?
Yeah, this one's not so bad. I mean, like, there's a few good ones, but then after that it kind of falls off. But it's coming to Blu-ray. In an all-new, digitally restored special edition from Tim Burton, comes the astounding film that captured the hearts of fans and critics. Inspired by Roald Dahl's beloved children's book, I guess.
Yeah, Roald Dahl.
Yeah, you
think,
got the likes
of
Paul Terry.
A doll that's been rolled.
So anyways, yeah, I went and saw this movie.
This is a weird distant chuckle.
Sorry. I went and saw this movie in the 8th grade, but I was with my 8th grade girlfriend, so... Didn't catch a lot of the flick, if you Snow White, I mean.
Ah, I hear you.
Ladies, man.
You know it.
Quite the ladies, man. And I got to, you know, who actually did James and the Giant Peach? I know it wasn't Tim Burton. Who directed it?
Yeah, it was Henry Selick.
Henry Selick.
Yeah, right. Why does it say Henry Selick's James and the Giant Peach? That has always bothered
me. It's Tim Burton's story or...
No,
it's based on Roald Dahl's.
Yeah, but
yeah. I don't know. Because
they know that that's what's going to get people into the theater.
Yeah, he's like, this movie will not be made unless my name's on it. Okay?
I always assumed it was, but I thought, and then I started looking into it, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I just thought that because.
Now, let me ask you this, Adam. You're in the eighth grade there with your girlfriend in the theater. Are you like Tim Burton's James and the Giant Peach? Or are you like Henry Selick's?
No. Well, as an eighth grader that was looking to make out with my Filipino girlfriend at the time, I was solely focused. Yeah.
Nice.
Fine.
He's carrying around the little tape recorder with that music on.
Where's that music?
He's so smooth.
No, but my mom read me and my sister that book when I was younger, and so when it came out, and it was a Disney release, so I, you know, it was just, yeah, let's go check that out. So
to make out to.
Does the Bingo old yawn?
Okay, guys. Enough of the tomfoolery. Let's get on to the real reason.
I'm rolling a big donut.
All right, what's the next DVD?
Heroes Season 4, baby. That's right. Your favorite weird superheroes are back.
Yay! Yeah.
Got a, it's Season 4, this 5-disc.
Who the hell is going to, like, be like, hey, I'm going to check this out.
I got to finish out my collection.
You know it. You got to complete it. Well, that's funny that you mentioned that because I was reading just, you know, browsing through the sites. And someone did a review on it, and they were like, oh, yeah, Heroes finally gets back to its first season roots. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, I remember you guys talking about Heroes Season 1, and I still go back and listen to those episodes, and I'm just like, you guys are going to find out real soon how terrible.
Somebody needs to go back in time and warn these guys.
capacitor. I would do
that. If you go back to randomly select one of those old episodes, I'm a guy like, hey, guys, Heroes this week, pretty good, huh? And we're like, you know, Steven or Bill, like, yeah, that was pretty good. I'm like, what are they talking about? I know, why did that ever came out of my mouth?
It is trippy to actually hear you talking about such a terrible show and liking it. You're like, I'm into it, though, man. Heroes, they got something. And then, like, the next season.
Then they lost
Yeah.
Well, it's like, tell your buddy Eric to go back and listen to an old episode. We're like, great Entourage.
Yeah, Bill's the one that starts getting irritable first. He's like, oh, I don't know.
I like his Bill voice.
I had to talk Bill into watching it again, I believe. If you go back, Bill was like, I don't like that show. And I was like, come on, give it another try.
Yeah.
So we kind of
watched
it.
He got into it for a little bit. But
I liked when they went to like the Cannes Film Festival and stuff like that. But that was a while back.
Yeah. All right. That shit works. I love how that ish works. I love it. You guys heard of this movie, The Ghost Rider, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray?
Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah. I didn't
hear
much about it.
No, that's with Nick Cage, Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Heard that was horrible.
I was hoping you would do that. All right, well, I don't know. I guess Ewan McGregor.
Love how that shit works.
Anyways, I don't know. I don't even really want
to. So when he's writing, does his flaming skull
yes.
He's got a pen. He's like,
splitting headache. What was it from the trailer that he kept saying?
Dear diary. You know, it's like Ghost Rider writing a diary. This is the most boring movie ever.
His pen's on fire.
Ghost Rider show? on PBS, like from back in the day. I don't. It was like a PBS or something like that, and it's called The Ghost Rider. And I was always like, I thought this was like a Marvel comic or something back when I was like, I didn't understand. Ooh, sorry to do that. All right, here we go. Moving along here. Eclipse Series 23, the first films of Akira Kurosawa. Now, I've never seen any of his films, but I thought this was the only other real DVD that's coming out that seemed interesting. It's a 4-disc box set, and it's got, it's his earlier films. It's got Senshiro Sagata, The Most Beautiful, Senshiro Sagata Part 2, and The Men Who
Dread. He's a nice guy. Let's do it.
Jason, you can maybe break down, drop some knowledge on, you know, Akira Kurosawa more than I could, but.
He's Japanese.
He's the director.
That was enlightening.
Yeah, he's a great director and stuff. I honestly haven't seen a lot of... I've seen Ran, and I could tell you that it's visually striking.
Two thumbs up.
I've seen bits of The Hidden Fortress. I know that influenced George Lucas with Star Wars. But Bill is the real Kurosawa expert. It's a shame he's not here.
Well, that's why I picked it out, because I'm like, what would Bill pick out? And then I was like, he would get Akira Kurosawa's first films, definitely.
And I'm
sure he'll be buying that.
Bill, yeah. I'm sure he'll be happy you're trying to kind of take his place.
Don't ever come up to my... I'm trying to take my... You got it!
Oh, my God. Well, maybe not.
Man, I've never heard Bill talk like
that. Can you just see Bill up in Adam's face like Chef Scott? Don't you ever... You think you're going to do my job? It's just like spit flying on your face.
I want to see that.
Not me. Jeez.
Yeah, that would be kind of uncomfortable. It's like, awkward.
Right, Adam's probably taller than Bill, too.
Masturbating.
What?
I thought this was a family show.
Grinding halt.
Yes. Put the brakes on that one. All right. The last one, it's probably... I think this one will be pretty good, and this one's dedicated to Steven.
Uh-oh.
It's the SNL Best of Will Ferrell Volume.
Nice.
Not going to be on Blu-ray, Steven.
Forget it then.
I won't buy it then.
I don't know. I guess it's just I think they're doing it because of the release of the other guys starring him and Mark Wahlberg.
That looks like gold, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks so painful.
Tell the truth, Steven, though, but you do like Will Ferrell, right?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're contradicting yourself there, Steven.
He's torn.
Steven, you do like Will Ferrell, right?
No.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Well, I'm honestly not confused, because I can relate to what Steven's saying, because I like him sometimes and then I don't like him other times. So I don't know. But
the
actually,
things they
the
said about your intelligence
looked...
was wrong.
I think it's like kind of like Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller is good sometimes when he's left to his own devices and he goes into these weird characters and he overplays them.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
And that Will Ferrell does the same thing when he's got a director that will rein him in and keep him from being stupid.
Right. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Just goes too far where it's just like, okay.
Yes.
And I know that you're dead stupid sometimes, but that's not the Will Ferrell that I enjoy. Did you guys see Stranger Than Fiction?
Yes. I love that movie.
I thought that was a great movie. If he would do more things like
that. Well, and he played the straight guy in that movie.
Yeah, but still some of his little things still come out sometimes, and it's just his face, because I do enjoy him a lot from SNL, and so you can kind of see some of that goofiness coming out even when he's playing like the straight man, you know. But I don't know, even in this newer movie, I will say that I am kind of looking forward to it, because it does look like he's like held back, you know what I mean? It's not like a Talladega Nights or... You know, Step Brothers.
It's not as
like
over the top funny, but I do love Step Brothers.
Like Step Brothers, I like because of John C. Reilly.
Yeah, I just could not. I'm sorry, it just didn't make me laugh. I'm just like,
the part where they say they're sleepwalking, they're throwing all the Christmas presents, and he's like, "I'm gonna wake him up." Don't wake him up! And he wakes him up, and they're like, "Oh!" And they pick him up, and throw him down the stairs. Come on, that was gold.
Listen, Anchorman was just a chore to watch.
Steven threw the Anchorman DVD at me. You can have this. Bam!
Wow.
That's why I dedicated the SNL volume 3 to
I laughed at it in two spots. When Jack Black punted the dog off the bridge, I was like, oh.
That was it.
That was not enough.
So you were like, heh.
And then there was the panther piss one. It was like,
yeah, that part was funny.
Come on, you
funny.
Didn't like the street fight where they're fighting
no.
all the... Even a little bit? Come
no.
on.
I did like the part where...
Yeah. Wait, what?
I want my, Baxter.
I want my time back from watching that.
Wait, go ahead, Adam. I could hear you.
No, I'm sorry about that. I do like the part where he talks to the dog and asks him if he ate the entire wheel of cheese or whatever like that. I thought that part was funny.
Steven likes that, too.
I'm going to kill it. Steven, you put words in my mouth.
Yeah.
It's foggy. Oh. It's not me.
Right. Yeah. That's all I got for DVDs, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know.
He's so apologetic.
Hey. Adam,
I'm
sorry.
I'm not worthy of being on the show, and apparently...
Only if I can rub your testicles.
Hey, wait, what? What just happened?
Adam was just accosted.
Adam, did a great fill-in job. Thanks for doing it, buddy.
Thanks, man.
It was kind of like if Steven and Bill had melded into one person.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, he was very defeated, yet he was doing the DVDs.
That was pretty eerie. Whoa. I'm just trying to think, picture that.
I'm a bippy dragon.
All right, Adam. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Don't ever come up to my pad again! Try to take my... Wait! You got it!
Thank you! Good night! Here all week, try the veal. And... scene.
I need to learn how to play this.
I'll tune banjo.
That shouldn't be too difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Blam! Yes!
All right. Lots of clicks and clacks and cicadas this week. All right, everybody. That was episode 208 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you. Woo! Everybody...
What was that?
You just ran out of enthusiasm.
I was waiting for some backup. No. Come on.
I didn't know that was coming.
All right, guys.
So guys, let's talk about year 5 coming up. You guys haven't even said anything. I mean, September 4th is going to be your 5-year anniversary.
Holy shit. I haven't even thought about that.
I was going, what movie is year 5? I haven't ever heard of this one.
Wow. That's interesting, Adam. I haven't even thought about that.
Closing in on a month here.
Adam is your biggest fan.
It feels like it's already been 5 years, though, and this is 6.
Huh?
Well, the first year felt like a year and a half.
Because we started in August. We actually did episode 1 and 2 in August.
That's a Steve Martin bit, sorry.
Adam, and I had both episodes finished, not knowing. We recorded the episodes, and I didn't know how to post them. I was like, okay, we got a podcast. Right. What do I do? Open up the window and just throw it outside? I can't even physically hold it. It's a recording in digital form. So we released that in September. So, yeah, our anniversary is coming up.
I mean, that's a big deal, dude. 5 years. I'm pretty juiced. So I got Buddy. I went and talked to him. I went down to Hoboken. I went into Carlo's Bakery, and I said, I want you to basically get a sheet of plywood and throw a lot of Rice Krispie treats,
cereal
chocolate, and fondant. And basically what I asked them to do is a recreation of Mount Rushmore, but with all of your
food. That's awesome.
Nice. Don't forget the buttercream. Put the buttercream on there.
Or the old school
dirty icing.
Ganache. Or whatever it's called. What does he always say?
Yeah, and
the old school buttercream.
They always have the modeling chocolate.
And some bling. Like, he's really into bling. Like, yeah. Then
you're like, wow.
For my sister's birthday, I'm going to put some bling on a dress on this cake.
I love Buddy. Too bad we didn't talk about Buddy this week.
I know.
But guys,
that's why I had to bring it up now.
Well, I appreciate that. That's cool that you brought that up because I hadn't even thought about it. So I want a plaque of some kind.
Okay.
Okay.
But I want everyone to go to noworamulberry.com and join the new forum, huh? Also, you can find me, Bill, and Steven, or would it be Bill, Steven, and I on Twitter? You can find us there?
Occasionally.
Also, I want you all to join the Nowhere Mulberry fan club on Facebook, huh?
Yes.
Have you done that, Laura?
I have.
Awesome. We're going to do some more stuff on there. Right? Me?
I don't know, Jason.
I'm going to try to, okay? Talking to myself right now.
Let's talk about your big butt.
Huh? But also, call 1-206-202-3491 and send us a voicemail. Also, send an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Hey, right? So that'll be fun.
You better. You better do it.
And
join the forum. I actually did.
Anybody can do it. Laura, you posted on there too.
I did.
It's really cool.
You did before I did, didn't you?
I beat you to it.
You know, the one thing about the forum before was just like, you know, it's like all these people have joined. We got all these posts. You just got to let it go and start over. And it's okay.
Well, I mean, some of it was just, I mean, there was really no need to go back to it, any?
Yeah. What, you revisit old posts or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess on days where I'm sad, I'm like, I'm going to look at when people talked about this episode and make me feel good. You know, something like that. But instead, I'll just call Adam on the phone. They're like, Adam, remember episode 75 when that one thing happened?
Dude, anytime you can call me.
It's probably in his bucket.
Awesome.
Now what's going on with Old School?
What's going on with Mulberry Old School?
Yeah, because I like I said, I'm taking my friend Eric through it, and
Is it still up?
Well, I downloaded the first 10 episodes like about a week ago, and it was up. Okay, and now this is what's weird. My friend Eric at work, because he has his iPhone, he didn't all he had was 1 through 5 that he downloaded at home. So he downloaded the shows from his iPhone, and he has the site up, and it's still up, the GCast site. But yet when I come home and do it, and I go to because I've always Googled like NIM Old School GCast, and then it takes me like to that page. But now it's like saying it's like GarageBand mixed with iLike or something like that. So I don't know exactly what's going on from the PC standpoint, but Eric can get in through his iPhone, no problem.
Well, just go to nowheremulberry.com and just click the link of Mulberry Old School there, and it takes you right to the feed. Try that.
Okay, yeah, that's how I'll have to get them. But the only problem is that I always struck out with that feed last time. Like, and GCast had better, like, downloads and, like, faster downloads and stuff. So I don't know. So, I didn't even think of going
I don't know either. I haven't tried it in a while. I'll mess with it. I haven't looked at it in a long time, honestly. Ever since I couldn't post any new episodes on there, I just kind of, like, haven't
abandoned
looked.
It.
Yeah, I've abandoned it.
Right.
But
well, I mean, and I had to go back because we were missing some Nowhere in Mulberry, man. This past break was rough.
Could your friend Eric start with like episode 100 instead of episode 1?
Actually, or at least episode 2.
You know,
skip that first one altogether.
You know, one thing I forgot about those old episodes is we didn't use the levelator yet, where it balances out the voices, the drops, and everything. So sometimes something will be really loud and something will be too quiet where you can't hear it. Have you noticed that?
No, not really. I mean, my friend Eric is a sound engineer. So, and he's even, I'm like, the first episode was rough, but other than that, it's like, it's not that bad. It's not that noticeable.
Cool. I want him to go back and remaster all these
digital remasters.
That'd be awesome.
As a birthday present.
Yeah. 5.1, okay? 5.1. I want Steven left channel, Bill right channel.
Cicadas in the middle
channel.
Back.
Yeah, I want the cicadas to go all the way around the room. Like, whoa, they're all around the room, dude.
They're everywhere.
Need a fumigator.
Porn music just everywhere.
The porn music.
You know what? Laura, I don't want to forget to thank you for being here.
No problem. It was fun.
What was it like to see the magic happen?
Hey, it was worth it just to see the DVD song.
Was it like?
Do you picture that in your head?
Now
you go. I see what he's doing.
It was everything I hoped it would be.
Awesome. Rub it in, Laura. I mean, rub it in deep.
Is shoved that.
I
kind of
wonder what people picture.
Whoa, what,
in
Laura?
Sorry, did I say that?
Holy crap!
All right, guys. That was a good show, man. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Laura. And thanks, Steven. Hey.
Thank you.
CZ Steven.
PCZ. That's what we call him around these parts. All right, everybody. See you next week.
Some of us have to work for a living. You know what I mean?
Watching this shit, man, it's fucked up.
Now this is podcasting.
It's made with love.
Made with love?
Yes.